Joel Radio, welcome in to the fans all over the world that listen to this show. If you're listening for the first time, thank you.
And why?
I don't know. It could happen.
It could. Dreams can come true.
Well, look. Everybody starts somewhere. Everybody's, you know. Somebody's everybody's first time. Isn't that the case?
Sure.
Maybe not.
Was that a Tony Bennett album?
I think. I have a cousin who was 200 guys first time. Maybe that's not the case. Hello,
Zynga!
Joel Radio. Welcome in, Corey Hall. How you doing?
We're sorry, Gina. We love you.
It's not. Hey, leave Gina out of this.
I'm just guessing you have a cousin named Gina.
Uncle Tony was a sick man. She needed money.
Like 8 out of 10 Italian women are named Gina.
He couldn't tile floors anymore in his condition, Corey.
No.
Hey. None of those things are true. Welcome into Joel Radio. Joel Fragamenti, Corey Hall.
I have a cousin who's a village bike as well, so it's
okay. Oh, do you? What's her number? That's a joke. No.
I'll give it to you off the
air. Corey and Joel. Corey's here. I was going to say Corey and Joel. We're going to have a Corey and Joel Radio classic episode for you.
Oh, Jesus.
At the end. We did one last time. It was fun.
Can't we bury those in a bunker somewhere?
Well, they're buried 200 web pages deep on joelradio.net. So we're gonna dig them out and listen to that for a minute. That was fun last time, right?
Oh, we'll
get into that.
Oh,
we're gonna talk about Avengers: Infinity War. How many times have you seen it, Corey?
Oh God, I saw it one time.
I saw it once.
Yeah, people are seeing this thing. People went and saw Black Panther like 5 times.
Yeah, I know that.
And now they're seeing this repeated times.
Yeah, why?
I don't know.
And well, we're going to talk about Infinity War later. Maybe we'll do a little spoiler casty thing at the end where we can actually talk about the plot if you want. But
yeah, we'll spoil
in general,
it.
Yeah. I thought that the movie wasn't hugely successful.
Well, people are on their third or fourth viewing, so we'll spoil it all the way. I got plenty of nerd notes to break down on that thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it was not. Anyway, well, we're going to do it. What movies do you need to see Infinity War? We'll tell you.
Yes.
I want to get into Marvel. What
There's
do I see?
18
we'll tell you.
Marvel movies.
Yeah.
And to see Avengers Infinity War, you got to watch several.
Okay. I've seen, I think, was this 19 or 18?
Something like that.
It was 19 or 18. There's 4 I didn't see. So even me, I haven't
and
seen
And that's just counting the official Marvel Studios movies.
Right. Well,
then
that's
if we're
not
talking like Deadpool. And
yeah,
X-Men
we're not talking
those.
We're talking the actual Marvel Cinematic Universe, right. Marvel Studios, a division of Disney. Yeah. You know, and so, you know, even I haven't seen them all. So, there's a lot of people who are going to be going into this going on. And listen, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know some of the shit that was going on in this.
Yeah.
You know, there were times I was like, that's a guy. And I mean, like, okay, I kind of remember the collector, but not really. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff in there that, you know, I have seen web pages and YouTube videos where people connect the dots on all these things. But I don't recommend necessarily people watch those because that's just more stuff you're not. It's going to be out of context if you haven't seen the movie. So it's sort of.
I was weaned on comic books from day one.
Yeah.
I've been reading Marvel comic books since I could read, since like 1981, 80, something like that, somewhere around there. And there was stuff I wasn't quite sure about.
It yeah. Is.
So it's okay.
It's
all right.
It's you're trying to, I mean, and it's like, that's all big. I mean, in what, 10 years to ask you to know, you know, 18 movies worth of stuff? That's a big ask.
Who had a big ask?
we're going to cover Kanye in a minute, so don't worry. Corey says we have a Kanye correspondent calling in, and I don't know who it is.
Our senior Kanye correspondent.
So they have my number, and they're going to be dialing in here, so we're going to wait for that.
We've got
I have no idea who it's going
to
be.
Lots of exciting coverage to get to. Oh, man. Mm-hmm. We had our big eulogy show last time, and people stopped dying.
Although I was told by a keen listener that we forgot Mitzi Shore.
Oh, boy.
Which, now, Mitzi's kind of been out of it for a long time, so it wasn't like she was all that active. Mm-hmm. You know, apparently she had dementia or something, so or she was ill. But, yeah, Mitzi Shore, the lady who ended up running the Comedy Store for the boom 80s period. And probably the Comedy Store in on the Sunset Strip in L.A., probably the most influential and important comedy venue of modern times.
You could argue the Improv, Comedy Store was the West Coast progenitor of the whole comedy thing. I've been to the Comedy Store a few times, and been up on the open mic stage, and everybody always says it's kind of haunted.
Yeah,
and has a weird vibe. One, it's dark in there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's three rooms. There's a belly room and a main room and the original room.
Okay.
There's a whole a big showcase room. Yeah. That's a big theater. That's one. That one's got the theater arch and the whole thing. And then the main room's kind of a dinky little room. Anyway, it does have a weird vibe in there. It's got a weird. It's painted black on the outside. Mm-hmm. It's got like a creepy haunted vibe to it. So I think a lot of that is Mitzi.
Okay.
A very important but also controversial figure in the history of comedy.
Well, thumbnail sketch is Mitzi Shore was a lady who was married to Sammy Shore, who's a comic. Goes back to the 50s and then in the 60s, and they opened this club called the Comedy Store, which was going to be a sort of permanent supper club for comedy.
Yeah, Sammy Shore was a real ham and egger kind of
You can see
borscht belty kind of comic, and he opened up the comedy, which was what would have been the Slate Brothers, I think it was originally
called.
It had been a nightclub.
Read I'm Dying Up Here, book. It's all in there.
You get the whole history of the Comedy Store.
It's great. But anyway, she ended up divorcing Sammy and got the club in the divorce and ended up becoming the home to all of the new comics of the late 70s and 80s. And,
Mark Ridley kept he's kept his club. That's good for him.
Yeah, after divorce. Yeah.
He lost a bakery. That's what he did.
Well, I think
there's one, but he could have lost that club. He's done
Comedy
well.
Comedy Castle might be lost to the Royal Oak City Planning Commission, but that's another story. But here's the deal. That's wonderful. Wonderful news coming out of the city of Royal Oak. But anyway, let's move on. I know you're looking at me like, what are you talking about?
Well, now I know. Oh, God.
No, but there's if you've been to Royal Oak.
They want
to
build a condo tower everywhere they can.
Well, they're moving City Hall, and they're using property that is currently parking for the club to do that, which means that's going to affect a lot, not just Comedy Castle, but other local businesses. And there are owners. I'm not speaking for Mark because I haven't spoken to him about this directly, but there are owners of restaurants and retail shops that have put their foot down with the city and have said, we're out.
Yeah.
There are shop owners leaving Royal Oak over this plan, which even if you're not leaving, your business may be affected adversely to where you're going to get forced out of business because the city wants to build office space.
Whenever these cities get plans.
Yeah.
All around, this happens every municipality, but
so that's what's happening, and it's a push pull kind of thing. And I'm not saying anything's happening to the Comedy Castle because it isn't,
but I can
but
see
it could there's be a big, potential for it.
A big kerfluffle,
right? But anyway,
where I live, they proposed the city wanted to turn part of the municipal complex, they were wanting to build on it
because
there's not really a downtown Troy, really.
Yeah.
It's like office building, there's a little bit of something, but it wasn't built like an
sure, yeah.
So they wanted to go, well, we'll put a bunch of shops and stuff. We'll build like a prefab downtown on these acres of parkland. The old people came out of the woods like they were giving away like Bob Evans breakfast coupons. They just came out and stormed the city council.
You know what would be a shame, Corey?
What?
If the city of Troy, Michigan had traffic. I mean,
what
an awful thing to happen in that town.
Well, see, I live where
that town is built on traffic.
I live right. So there's a bunch of office buildings. There's a big, huge mall.
Yes.
There's a lot of restaurants and steakhouses and stuff. And it's like L.A. without any of the good parts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like afternoon traffic.
Yeah, it's garbage. I mean, and there is, the bedroom communities of big houses where people drive to other places to work. And there's the office buildings where people work, and there's all that stuff and the retail and the dining. But it's not
where I live is right in the hub of all the traffic.
Nothing is centralized.
Not really.
OK, I'm going. Hey, you know that store next door? Yeah, get in your car and drive over there. It'll take you 10 minutes.
Yeah, it's
and then
not,
5 minutes to find a parking spot. It's
Joel,
kind of.
Joel lives in a real walkable neighborhood.
Yes, I do.
Beautiful. In fact, I walked all over this neighborhood,
Ferndale, Michigan,
on Sunday.
Oh, good for you. Where'd you go? Anywhere cool?
Well, we went. It was. And we're way off the Mitzi Shore story.
Yeah, well, you know,
Mitzi died.
She can wait.
Well, I know the listeners are wanting some Argus Hamilton.
I mean, yeah, I don't. A bunch of guys fucked her and got privileged spots, and there was this, again. Read the book. I'm dying up here. It's fantastic. But a bunch of comics had a strike. Certain comics took Mitzi's side in the strike.
Yeah,
such as Argus Hamilton, who was fucking her, and Mike Binder. And yeah. Guys like that. And
Royal Oak, Michigan's own Mike Binder.
And so she was controversial in that she wasn't paying the comedians. The comedians were making her wealthy, and they wanted their cut. So guys like Tom Dreesen and Jay Leno banded together with a bunch of the other comics, and they walked out. And it wasn't a long walk out or anything, but
it's a couple
did
months,
change.
Yeah.
It did change the comedy business in a sense. And a lot of people say that was the end of the glory days of comedy, when you actually had to pay comics. So apparently we're back into a glory period because we're not getting paid anymore. But
that only works, by the way, in that club.
Yeah,
not paying comics.
Yeah,
because that was the place where the bookers from The Tonight Show and Make Me Laugh and any of these shows in the '70s.
Yeah,
they were these showcase shows,
And
they'd go on all night. Comics would fight for spots. Right. But everybody who walked in the door maybe had a potential to hire you.
Yeah, and I think Jerry Seinfeld, I think I heard, might have even heard this on Comedians in Cars or one of them, he was like, Mitzi did not like him.
No.
She was not one of his guys.
He was a...
So even though he went on to have a great career, and he certainly played there, was not his thing.
No, he was a laugh, what was, not...
Was he a Laugh Factory guy? I mean, he was a New York guy. He was Catch a Rising Star, I think, in New York, would have been Jerry's thing. It was a... The New York Comedy Club, right?
Yeah. No, he was at the comedy room. What was the one? He was like, I was at the lame one.
The Westwood Comedy Store?
No. Anyway, there was the Westwood Comedy Store. We could get into all this. Read the book. The book is great.
I'm dying up here. Don't bother with that Showtime show. It's garbage.
Showtime show is like...
It has its moments. And
it's loosely based on
very
it.
Very loosely.
The book is very specifically...
Yes, it's an oral
a document
history
of that moment and that strike, which is a really... Really well-written book, and it's very well...
I think probably the best... If you want to read one book about comedy, I would start with that one. Because I think it's very relatable. You'll know all the characters. Because you can read Cliff Nesteroff's The Comedians.
Which is a great book, too.
Which is great, but you're not going to know half those guys because they're all dead, and you try to look them up, and there's no video of the guys and stuff. It's harder to get
you're
the reference.
You don't want to hear stories about Frank Fay doing comedy in 1927. But that's a great book too. But it's advanced class.
I like Cliff's book. It's not the first one you should read. You should read I'm Dying Up.
That's
here.
A 104.
Born
course.
Standing Up by Steve Martin. Great book about comedy.
Yeah.
Not the first one you should read. You should read I'm Dying Up Here. Yeah. That's my opinion. Joel's comedy opinion.
Yeah,
which I'm paid to give.
Well, that's true.
Yeah. Look at that.
But yeah, read up I'm Dying Up There if you want to hear about the comedy store and the whole history of that. There's a bunch of books that talk about that.
Well, what's the Comics on the Edge by Zoglin is pretty good, too.
Yeah, that's good, too.
But yeah, I'm Dying Up Here is the definitive document of that period. If you want to know more about Mitzi, it's in there. And of course, her offspring sprung from her vagina, one of the great film stars of our era, Pauly Shore.
Woo!
Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
What a guy.
What a guy.
What a talent.
He'll be coming soon to the Token Lounge here.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's. You know,
by the way, your career is not in when you're opening for Pauly Shore.
Well, here's how you know where your career is. It's not that you're opening for Pauly Shore, but how do you feel about it? Is it a career high point, a career low point, or is it just another gig that you don't give a fuck about?
Well, okay, so there's...
And I know people... I've opened for Pauly Shore, and I know what that's like. I mean, I did it at the Gathering of the Juggalos, so that's a little different, but I know when he would play Chaplins, guys would open for him. I know when he would play...
A few months ago, I opened for Mark Skippy Price.
Oh, yeah.
From Family Ties.
Yeah.
At which I did kind of as a favor to the guy who was booking the room. Because he was like, I gotta have somebody who can hold this thing.
Yeah.
But there's a guy that's in town who's booking novelty acts currently.
Yeah.
Like once in a while, the Comedy Castle will bring in a like Jake the Snake Roberts, but they'll do it on a Sunday night.
Corey, how would you feel about John Lovitz at the Comedy Castle?
Okay, well, John Lovitz is legit.
I know. John Lovitz is coming this fall.
Well, that's good. I mean, yeah, okay. So but John Lovitz is a legit, he's got his own club.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
Yes.
Jake the Snake Roberts is a drug-addled old mess who learned to do yoga from Diamond Dallas Page.
He's a wrestler that does a spoken word show about his tales from the road.
Speaking of Diamond Dallas Page, he'll be at the Comic-Con.
Okay, there you go.
In a couple weeks, I'll probably meet him over there.
Go get your DDP on.
Yeah. That's the thing, though. These guys get excited because somebody books, some fly-by-night outfit books Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
They book the big one is Dustin Diamond.
Yeah.
Your big stunt novelty act.
Ron Jeremy. Skippy Price, Jimmy J.J. Walker. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's the circuit.
Like, there's this lower tier. And then now they booked Darren McCarty, who's a former Red Wing, who was like the goon on the
Red
Wings. He was when the Stanley Cup championship.
The affable guy who dropped the gloves.
Yeah, not a great player, but
third line right winger. Could drop the gloves.
Well, he's a first line right winger now, I'm sure. He's very...
Well, that's not what I meant by that.
Yeah, no, he's very clear.
His position on the team.
I'm sure he's a MAGA hat wearing dude.
We lost him to an expansion draft. Am I correct on that?
Is that what it is?
I think that's what happened.
I think it was kind of at the tail end of...
Or was it a free agency?
It was the grind line era. And I think he left and came back or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
But Darren is like a guy, you'll see him at the bar.
Yeah.
In fact, he used to have his jersey up at the bar that we used to play trivia at.
Okay.
And he'd be there some nights.
Yeah.
So not exactly. But they get young comics with that every time.
Well, I mean, when I set that up is, depending upon where you are in your career, opening for Pauly Shore is either a career highlight or a career lowlight. What I mean by that is, if you don't know what the gig is going to be, you're going to go like, I'm going to have this great gig opening for Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
And then one of two things. Well, there's a few things that are guaranteed to happen. Here's one possibility. Yeah. Pauly Shore draws nobody.
Well, that's a distinct possibility.
That's a very good chance that could happen. There's nobody showing up for Pauly Shore. So right there, that's a problem, okay? Another possibility is that more likely is that you're going to show up, and even if there's a crowd, they're not going to laugh at your jokes because they're there to see Pauly Shore. Or maybe they show up late because they know there's an opening act.
Well, they'll kind of sit on their hands.
And they'll sit on their hands and they don't give a shit.
Well, but that's the problem. When you do a stunt kind of show like that, where you open for some Tila Tequila or some celebrity.
I don't think she's doing shows.
No,
like
I know. I'm just saying.
Yeah, but I mean, Tommy Chong used to be another one of these
guys.
Well,
Tommy Chong was a guy who had been a performer.
Yeah, right.
It's these guys who aren't even comics.
Yeah.
That guys do comedy shows with, and you go, no, you're not getting anything good out of that.
And then so that could happen as well, that they're going to, because people that are there to see Pauly Shore aren't there to see comedy.
No.
They're there to see Pauly Shore.
They're there to gawk.
And I know that
celebrity.
Some people may not understand what I mean by that, but what I mean is that people that come to the Comedy Castle or even an open mic or something, and they've paid a couple of bucks, they're there to laugh, they're there to see comedy, they just want comedy.
And
they don't really specifically want to see one guy. Right. When people go to see Pauly Shore, they're paying money to see this guy who they know from movies and TV, and so they're there to see him and sort of, you know, sniff in his fumes or whatever, and if it's funny, it's funny. If not, hey, I got my picture taken with Pauly Shore, who gives a fuck? So you, as the opening act, really have to work hard and be good, or else you will have a terrible gig. So, and even if you are good, you can have a terrible gig because of that same reason. So that's it. And then the guys who are like, I don't really give a shit, are guys who will show up and cash the check and go, I don't really give a shit about that.
But they do that with...
they do that with a bunch of guys.
They do that. They bring in a guy. You don't know what you're getting. And the young guys fall for it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... It's a thing. So if you're opening for Pauly Shore, and I know guys are excited. Now, there was some scuttlebutt that when in discussing bookings of this sort, that it's like, hey, if you're going to bring people, you can open for Pauly Shore. And again, I'm not even using Pauly Shore's name specifically, but as, you know.
An example.
Somebody. But yeah, as an example, it's like these guys who are looking for opening acts are going, well, if you bring people... It's like, how sure are you that your act is going to draw when it's like, well, you need to bring people or else you can't do this. You know, you want to over Pauly Shore? Sure. Can you bring 20 folks? And you can have
that's a good sign,
that's
too.
That's a
bad
sign.
Oh, boy.
So that's what happens when you open for Pauly Shore. All right, anyway. Well, we're still waiting for Mr. Kanye Expert, so should we move on to the...
Yes.
Let me give you two possibilities. We can talk about Conan going to 30 minutes.
Okay.
Or we can talk about the White House Correspondents' Dinner with Michelle Wolf.
Well, did you watch that?
I did not. I mean, look, I saw clips of it. I get what happened.
Yeah.
And, okay. I have 33 seconds of opinion on Michelle Wolf at the Correspondents' Dinner if you want those, but you can go first.
Well, I watched it. I did watch the let me tell you what a drippy event that is.
Oh, yeah.
First of all, okay, so Trump's not there.
Which he really should go to those.
The whole point of the White House Correspondents'
exactly,
Dinner is that the president shows up, and Obama was really good at it.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, he kind of enjoyed.
George W. was good at it, too.
Bush was decent at it, even though there was a time Colbert came. So everybody's like, oh, my God, this Michelle Wolf, it was scandalous. What she did and tore up the... And I'm like, God, it was so awful. I've never had anything happen like this, like, except 2 years ago when Larry Wilmore did it. Or 3 years ago. You know, like this happens about every 5 years of the White House Correspondents.
People can't believe it happened again. Right. What is going on here?
Stephen Colbert was famously like burned the whole thing to the ground.
Yeah.
And called Bush a war criminal, basically, and did the whole thing. And everybody said how brave he was. And he got a network. He got a late night show on CBS out of it. Michelle Wolf did a good job. Not every joke worked.
Okay, I see. I didn't see that, but
I watched her.
I know it was the Sarah Sanders Huckabee thing that kind of drove people crazy.
She had some great jokes. She was like,
it was woman on woman crime, Corey.
Yes. Well, she said she had one about, she went on Kellyanne Conway and shit on her.
Okay.
I don't think anybody cares about Kellyanne Conway anymore. She had one of her best lines was she was like, Joe and Mika are here tonight. That's like a Me Too that worked out.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, it was, you know. She said the whole thing about Sarah Sanders. She was talking about her eye makeup.
Yes.
She did not, like, she could, I would have gone up and been like, Sarah Sanders, what's Kermit the Frog's dick taste like? I mean, you could have just made jokes about what a pig she was.
Yeah.
If you really wanted to be like, you know, you look just like your parents, Mike Huckabee and Uncle Fester. I mean, you know, you could have just slammed her looks all day long because she you could slam her looks like Rocky hitting a side of beef.
Well, you could say
they're indistinguishable from each other.
I'm glad the Trump administration is hired a transgendered person. Sarah Sanders Huckabee's here tonight.
Exactly.
You know, I mean that
you could just do this.
If you really want to be awful about it, you know.
But she was not. That was not what she was doing. Although she said she looked like Aunt Lydia from Handmaid's Tale.
Okay,
which is
I don't even get that reference.
Yeah,
but,
Ann Dowd is like when you can't get Margot Martindale, you get Ann Dowd. Yeah. Which, whatever, she did a good job. Not every joke hit, but those things are like that. They're like very. My whole thing is, if the president's not there, why are you having?
It sort of feels.
Why
like,
are you?
Well, it is a dinner. It's what the press association and the president is an invited guest. It's not an official White House thing, but traditionally the president goes, and it's
and
sort
Trump
of like
already made the calculus that he's not funny.
Yeah. Right.
Or, like, can't do roast.
Well, there's been Trump roasts. I mean, he sat there for those.
He wasn't great at the roast either.
Okay, but I mean,
he's real hostile.
He's been roasted.
He's real hostile to the press.
Yes, he is.
So the point of having a dinner where everybody backslaps and goes, hey, isn't it funny, Mr. President, seems like a waste of time.
But isn't part, I mean, and this is, if I was advising Trump, which, thank God I'm not, I would say, well, you know, look, if you go to this thing, they might be a little nicer to you because you look like you can hang and you can take a joke and kind of show some respect to these people who have to cover you. But you're not doing that either, dick.
Joe Bob Briggs, the great drive-in film critic, had a column about this.
Yeah.
And his take was the reporters are and I agree with this to an extent. The problem is the reporters take themselves so goddamn seriously.
They do, yeah.
That they're these white knights of journalism.
Yeah.
And he said that the whole point of events like this. And he's like, I've been to hundreds of these at like local community things in Dallas. You know, every city in the country's got one of these, and state and city and smaller. It's supposed to be a congenial, collegial kind of backslapping thing.
Yeah, it's,
and if the president's not even going to participate, then the point of doing all that seems
right.
Wasted.
But is
And I think maybe people are saying at this point, why are you even doing this?
Because is the tone so harsh that that's why Trump's not showing up? Has it gotten to be actually mean? And because...
Well, I think Michelle Wolf got the most heat because not for her Sarah Huckabee shit, because I don't think anybody in that room likes Sarah Huckabee.
Yeah.
It was at the end of it, she called out the reporters for making money with their books on Trump.
Okay.
Like, they're like, you're all trying to sell a book. You're all doing this shit. Mm-hmm. You're helping out this. Yeah. When the administration lies, you're helping them out. That's when they really turn sour on them. You know?
Yeah. And the other thing that really sort of, bothers me, I really don't care. But psychologically, though, I do find that critics of Trump, I was going to say the left, but critics of Trump extends far beyond the left at this point. Sure. But critics of Trump and the administration were sort of taking a victory lap over, like, these jokes. And to me, that's not really the, you know, overstating, that's overstating the effectiveness or the, and look, comedy does have social function, but I do feel that, you know, you can't just, like, hey, we lost the election, but boy, we zinged him real good for 6 minutes at this dinner.
Well, yeah.
The playing field is even now, or, hey, man, we're ahead in snarky comments.
This was,
and that's kind of, that sort of shows how petty the left is, I think.
This is like a soccer game that the score is 0-0 and they both declare victory.
Yeah.
Because the right wing was like, oh, my God, and clutched their pearls, and oh, the vapors, how awful they were to Sarah Sanders and Kellyanne Conway. And it was all this faux, phony fucking outrage about how mean they were. Even though Michelle Wolf made jokes on Hillary and the Democrats. And she, you know, it was like they overreacted.
Right,
like,
yeah. It's
these scandalous comedians. And then the left was like, then there were some people on the left that were like, she was over the line. It was tacky.
Well,
and I went, what is wrong with you people? Then there were other people on the left that were like, yes, queen. Oh,
yeah,
and they were celebrating Michelle Wolf.
She was, yeah.
And I thought she did fine. She did what she was supposed to do.
She did fine. But I think there's also some delusion that one of these jokes is going to turn everybody against Trump.
It's going to change.
Guys are going to take their MAGA hats and throw them on the ground and go, oh, fuck, I didn't. Well, thanks for opening my eyes to that, Mr. Comedian.
Well,
and it just doesn't work that way. I mean, look, there is a thing about, you know, and I remember I wrote a college essay. That's how long ago I was in college, Corey. I wrote a college essay
on a manual typewriter.
No, but I've probably written essays on manual typewriters, but not in college. About, you know, what happened to Dan Quayle. That the comedians effectively, you know, the comedians really did do a number on Dan Quayle to where he was poisoned politically. And some of that was his own doing. But, I mean, the comedians really...
Well,
Quayle, you know...
Ford got...
Sure, yeah. But I was using Quayle as a modern example. Yeah, this is my college. I was using Quayle as a modern example of the social function of comedy, and I was reading essays from, you know, the turn of the century about comedy and applying it to modern day. And it was kind of like, well, every night on The Tonight Show, there's jokes about Quayle to where America now looks at this guy as an idiot. Because there's no other way to look at him. Because without those jokes, I don't know that Quayle would have seemed like such an idiot.
I think Dan and Carvey also turned the tone on Bush.
Well, sure, it can happen to anybody. But I'm saying, I wrote about that specific example.
Sure.
But I don't know in today's media that would happen with Trump, though.
Well,
I don't know I don't know that there's a tipping point. Corey.
And in those days, in the Quayle Bush days, when they tried to turn it around on the media, it didn't go well for them.
Yeah.
Like Dan, they were mad at Murphy Brown.
Yeah, yeah.
And they picked a fight with that show for being mean to them.
Yes.
And people went, wow, what is wrong
with
you?
Well, look, they had a single mother, and I'm fuming just thinking about it now.
I know.
I mean, can you believe it?
I'm fuming.
Corey.
They tried to tell us that Candace Bergen's ovaries still worked at that point. Because how old was she when she did that?
You know, first you have single mothers, then you have guys pretending they're girls dancing around doing beauty contests on television. Mm-hmm. That's where this could potentially go, Corey. Do you see what we're talking about here?
The bottom line in this White House Correspondents' Dinner.
Please don't refer to Sarah Sanders as a horse, Corey. Hey-o.
It's a white elephant at this point. But I think the point, if the president's not going to participate in it, and the press is like, they have these events. And like I said, every 5 years they get upset with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So Larry Wilmore, he bombed. He was scandalous.
Is it every 4 years?
No, they have
it's
it every...
It's an annual event.
They have it every year.
But Trump hasn't gone in 2 years. Did they do it last year without him, or
yes,
did they cancel
they did.
It?
Yes,
they did it
they
without
did last
him?
Year, and the host of it last year
yeah.
was one of the most famous comedians in show business.
Oh. I don't know.
It was Kip Adada. No, yeah. it was.
I would have believed that.
It was Hasan Minhaj.
Of course, my favorite
right?
guy.
And he did nothing that anybody remembers.
Yeah.
But this is what I'm saying. I'm saying every couple of years, one of the comedians offends the people yeah. and they get upset about it. Well, you're having an awards dinner where you all get dressed up in a tuxedo yeah. and they call it nerd prom and you all act like this is this big. Well, stop hiring comedians.
Yeah, just yeah, yeah.
Because the same thing happens at the Emmys and the Golden Globes, mm-hmm. and all the stuff where, in order to make that a television show,
yeah.
they hire a comedian, yeah. for the audience at home,
right?
But the people in the room get their panties in a twist.
Well, you
and
could,
we know this you, from roasts yeah. on a local level.
Oh, absolutely,
roasts get ugly all the time, and it's a roast. And the whole message of the fucking roast is, we're gonna goof on each other. But guys inevitably get yeah. upset and get hurt and offended. And you're like, it's a... So I think the problem is the audience. Don't yeah. hire a comedian and expect to not have a joke.
Yeah, I mean, and you could just get a host who's going to be an MC. Meaning there's not going to be jokes.
That's Jimmy Fallon.
If
you want no jokes.
Or you, you know, I mean, I just feel like some people are kind of like, why do we have to be mean? But what else are you going to be entertained by? Well, you know, if it's not a comic, are you going to have a singer go up there and host this correspondence dinner? Are you going to have somebody dancing? Are you going to have somebody go up and play a fiddle? How do you, you know what I mean?
Who else do you get? No, you get like Jake Tapper or one of the...
Okay,
like,
but they're going to have a guy, but the
they're gonna have
guys are
going to
have,
guy,
they're going to have comics write yeah. jokes for them. And then they're just going to tell them poorly. And by the way, Michelle Wolf didn't fucking write these jokes. Don't fucking think that.
Well, she...
You fucking idiot.
She had help.
She had help, and she ultimately was the person that decided
what jokes
to do.
I mean, she's a comedian, so I'm sure
she's
wrote,
a comedian. I'm not putting her down.
I'm sure
she has
wrote
a TV
some
show.
Of the jokes.
She has
yeah.
a writing staff. Yeah. And all of these things have writing staffs. I'm not putting people down for having writing staffs, but it's also like
she wrote.
Don't make it like right. this one woman took on the White House, because that's not the fucking case.
This one woman and her three or four Jews,
exactly, absolutely.
Her three or four Harvard educated Jews wrote. Right. I mean, I'm not making like I'm not. That's not a slam or anything.
Yes.
It's she works on the Daily Show. I'm sure some of the guys.
She has
there,
a Netflix show, doesn't she?
Yeah, she's got yeah. her. Well, she worked on Seth Meyers and the Daily Show.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm sure any of those staff writer guys.
Sure.
She had a couple guys help her without. She wrote some of the jokes. I'm sure.
I'm sure she did too. But I mean, the point is, if you got Jake Tapper or Don Lemon, they're just going to have jokes written by the same frigging guys.
I believe it's Don Lemon Squeezy. Did you see that clip? There was some Republican like congressman.
I'm not up to date on my Don Lemon.
It was great. No. Some Republican, like not a congress, I don't know, he was like a
yeah.
consultant or something, kept calling him Lemon Squeezy in the interview.
It's kind of good, though.
And it was like, Don just looked at him like, the fuck are you doing? This guy just kept, like, he kept trying to be like, you know what I'm saying, Lemon Squeezy? And he just looked at him like...
Was he trying to be hip-hop, or was
yeah,
he trying
he was
to be like...
He was like, it was basically like that scene in Royal Tenenbaums where Gene Hackman goes, look here, Coltrane. To Danny Glover.
Don Lemon's not even a guy that's hip hop.
Yeah,
it's not even like
Don Lemon is the like.
Yeah, I'm more hip hop than Don Lemon.
The most vanilla brother we know. Do we ever have that tournament?
The whitest black.
The whitest blacks. Can we do that? Because there are some guys. That
all
are
right, let's do that right now.
All right, I'm gonna rank them. Brian,
you go ahead.
Bryant Gumbel.
Okay, there you go. Arthur Ashe. Oh,
that's
fuck.
That's a good one.
Fuck, you got to take him off. He died.
Oh, well.
He's in the Legends Hall.
Don.
The Hall.
Here's another one. Byron Allen.
He bought the Weather Channel.
Oh, my God. Can you believe that? Yeah. That's, by the way, that's the least black thing a guy could
well,
have
done. Well, I've exposed him
buying,
in the past.
Buying the Weather Channel is the least.
What Byron Allen, how Byron Allen makes money. I told it here on the show before. Should I go over it again?
It's pimping.
No. He actually runs
a stable of hoes. He's got shoe leather on the street.
He produces low cost programming that he provides to television stations for free and controls the ad revenue in those time slots. So at 2 in the morning when you're watching Comics Unleashed with Byron Allen, that was, you know.
There's another one. I think Byron must produce this one. There's a new, like, game show.
Okay.
That's, yeah. Terrible. That's, it's a, like, game show. It's basically a match game without the quest, without okay. the cards.
Yeah.
And it's just a panel show, and, like, Louis Anderson and Natasha Lazzaro sit there.
Yeah.
And it's really awkward and horrible, and it must be a Byron Allen.
But anyway, Byron, he also does, like, a lot of home improvement stuff, real estate shows, and they're given to stations for free.
Infomercials?
Infomercial type stuff, yeah. I mean, it's not an infomercial because he's not selling a product, but he controls the ads on those things. So he will sell. Basically, if you're watching Comics Unleashed and they go to a break, you're going to get an ad for the, you know, the egg cooker thing or the copper pan, which are infomercial stuff, but they're paying Byron to get into that, and then Byron's keeping the money, so Byron bought the Weather Channel, so Byron can keep selling ads to those things. So I thought he thought it was worth
well,
it.
Well, he's got a...
And let's face it, who's watching the damn Weather Channel at this point?
I, you know...
Nobody. We've talked about
it. Oh, it's called Funny You Should Ask.
Okay, Funny You Should Ask.
This show, and it's a panel comedy show. It's terrible.
Right.
Byron Allen also has a show called The Entertainers.
Yes.
Which is... we have a version of that here.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, speaking, let's go back to whitest black guys.
Greg Rucka.
Because I was going to say, there you go.
That's an inside baseball joke.
There's the Metro Detroit representative.
Yes, the mayor of Junkettown is what they call
Well,
Greg
he
Rucka.
Does, Byron does junket interviews.
For a few years, I did junkets. Yeah. You know, I went to New York and LA.
You were a junketeer.
For like about 4 years, and I would go out and do those all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And 3 or 4 years.
Lee Thomas.
Lee does those, and my buddy from Fox 2. And Byron was at all these junkets.
Yeah.
Like, I never really talked to him.
Sure,
like,
yeah.
I'd see him,
mm-hmm.
you know, I'd be like, hey, what's up? I'm going to Danish.
Yeah.
And he would just go to the, well, first of all, they're all in LA, so he didn't have to go anywhere.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And they do them in London, and he goes to London, though, too.
Yes, he does. But, like, for most of that job,
sure, yeah.
Everybody else, they're flying people in to come do these junkets. Byron Allen would go, I got to be over at the Four Seasons of Three.
Yeah.
And like,
it's an easy gig, yes.
And he'd sit there and he'd shoot these junkets.
And then the other thing about those junkets is they videotape them for you. You don't even need to bring equipment.
Mm-hmm.
They're videotaped. They provide you the tape.
Byron probably had his
for
own.
For the show.
Byron probably had his own crew.
I don't know. But I mean, I've read stories about those where you don't. Well, he has to probably shoot wraparounds and stuff. But, you know, that if you're a dick, they won't give you the tape. That's what I hear about those.
Oh, yeah.
If you're doing a video junket and you ask questions that are like off base, they won't give you the tape.
I've seen people get the publicist will kind of chew them out a little bit.
Yeah.
I've seen that happen where they'll take somebody aside and go, hey, did you have to do that? But I've never seen them take a tape.
Well, that's how much control they have over that media. That's why it's not really... That's why junket stuff shouldn't be considered media in the sense, because promotional stuff.
I've told this story probably before on the podcast, but one time I was doing a phone interview with Daryl Hannah,
mm-hmm.
and literally like a minute and a half or 2 minutes before she got on the phone, her publicist gets on and goes, don't ask Daryl about Playboy. And she was on the cover of Playboy. She was on the cover of Playboy that month.
Whoops.
And I went,
what'd you do?
And I went, that's half the reason. Well, she was in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
And I went, well, there goes like, I'm like, I got a sheet. Yeah. I got like 3 questions about the Playboy spread.
Mm-hmm.
So those are just junked.
Yeah.
Like, she gets on and goes, don't ask her about the Playboy. I'm like, what do you mean don't ask her about the Playboy? Minute before you go on.
All right. Speaking of television in the middle of the night that nobody watches, Conan is going to 30 minutes.
Oh, God.
Are you, how do we feel about this? We've been big fans of Conan since he started. I've attended 2 tapings of Conan live.
That's cool.
All right. I'm getting, wait a minute. But let's change topics here.
Hold on.
I don't know. This is a number I do not know. So it's somebody I don't know.
Let's answer it. Let's see who we have.
All right. Let's see who this is. Let's see. Okay. Hey, you're on Joel Radio. Who's this? Jeff Horst.
Hey,
oh, my goodness. Jeff, hold on a second. I got to get Jeff on the line here. Jeff, let's see if we... Jeff, say hi to us again.
Hey, how you doing?
Jeff Horst, here he is.
It's our senior Kanye West correspondent.
Corey said we have a Kanye correspondent calling into the show. And I'm like, who could this be? Well, first of all, I want to, you know, for the last 30 minutes, I've been cursing Brett, what's his name, for being our... Who's the comic?
Which Brett?
Not Hayden, the other one.
Mercer?
Yeah, I was thinking Brett Mercer was calling in.
Oh!
So I was kind of set up to talk to him, Jeff, to be honest with you. I'm not disappointed, sorry. Though. You're an upgrade. You're an upgrade to Mercer. I don't care if Mercer knows. You're an upgrade.
Call Mercer. I mean, we might be able to have our
well, I thought Mercer was the Kanye, the white Kanye
we could
expert.
We could get a party line. We wanted to have Detroit's blackest comedian,
Jeff Horst,
answer our question.
First of all, the black comics are going to, you know, you're making them all jealous, Jeff.
I don't know what to say.
Jeff,
that's not my goal.
Jeff's out there carrying Kevin Hart's golf bag everywhere now.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
Everyone's
hey,
upset.
Whatever it takes, man.
Oh my God, we'll talk more about that.
I wash his car.
Yeah, we'll talk more about that. We'll let you plug. Jeff's really funny. I don't know if Jeff's ever been. Have you? He's been on this show in some capacity. Probably
we ever had you?
Yet.
Jeff, have we ever had you?
I'm
on?
Sure I've stuck a mic in your face at some point.
Yeah, maybe. I don't think so.
All right. Well, that's good. Well,
I think we were supposed to. Yeah, I don't know.
It's good to have you now.
All right. Well, let's talk to Jeff. What do you know about Kanye West, Jeff?
What do I know about him? I know he's a rapper.
Yeah.
I know he's big into fashion.
Okay.
I think that the problem when people call to me the Kanye issue is I knew that this would happen too. As soon as I heard that everybody was all upset because of him saying that slavery was a choice, I knew for a fact that even though everybody was initially upset, that he was too popular for everybody to stay upset at him. It's
wait a minute.
There's no way. If you like somebody so much,
interesting,
then you will want to look past.
All right,
his faults.
Jeff
the black community has split in halves, where half of them on Facebook at least seem to be very big on the. He was talking about mental slavery, guys. He didn't say it the right way, but you got to look at the way that he said it.
So
and
people
the other half
are
is
not
like,
outraged
oh,
anymore.
You.
So for the
I don't know how the some people are extremely outraged, and some people are just like you guys are misquoting the way that he said it, and I'm like, well. If he's such a genius, then how did he say something so very, like, the worst way possible?
So for anybody who might have missed this.
Yeah, and nobody did.
He gave a long interview with TMZ where he said he liked Trump, and then he said there were 400 years of slavery in America, so at a certain point that's a choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Except for the fact that it wasn't a choice.
Except for the fact that people were literally
hunted if they escaped slavery.
It's it's a pretty dumb. I mean, it's dumb to sort of go. It's dumb to talk about the baseball game that happened last night and went like, well, they could have stole second. I mean, that's dumb too. That's a dumb argument that I'm extrapolating to.
Every now and then you'll hear some guy
slavery,
go,
but
well, why didn't the Jews fight back in World War II?
Right.
They could have stopped right. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Like Germany built a machine, an industrial army machine, specifically to crush the Jews.
Yeah,
and they were like, "Why didn't Hiram Finkelstein, the tailor, stand up and fight back?" And so it just sounded real. And then one of the guys from TMZ called him out. Like,
and that's why I don't really when Kanye West, like, they showed the full clips since then, and it seems like people are trying to say that he. You know, this is the full interview. But to me, the things that it seems like he was just trying to backtrack a lot, because after the man yelled at him and made a whole bunch of good points and called him an idiot, then afterwards, now Kanye tried to explain further.
Well,
what
he got his ass handed to him by Van on TMZ, which was fine.
Chewed him, caught a promo on him.
I tried to explain. Look, I'm on 9:10 a.m. every Tuesday night. I'm blacker than Jeff now, just for the record. we're in competition. Jeff upped his black game to pass me being on the black radio station.
Jeff, Joel is wearing Pele Pele right now. In the studio.
That's the Joel I know.
Yeah. I'm eating
classic Joel.
I'm eating Flamin' Hot Cheetos right now, Jeff. Don't try to be blacker than me, but listen, here's the point.
Hold on. I think your elbows need some shea butter.
Yes, excuse me. Excuse me, Jeff, as I apply. let me put my blunt down and tell Jeff how it is. But listen, here's the point. And I tried to explain Kanye and go, so for 5 minutes in the conversation, this is on Mike Bonner's Around Midnight, 9:10 a.m. here in Detroit.
Uh-huh.
And in the first 5 minutes, I tried to explain this away and move along going, well, Kanye's a crazy person. Let's move on.
Yeah.
An unacceptable answer to some people that night.
Here's my problem with this. 12 out of 10 white people go, oh, yeah, Kanye's an idiot.
Yes.
And like, it's not even, like, I know there, he obviously he sells a lot of records
to
white people, but most white people are like, yeah, Kanye's stupid.
And you can say he's a great artist and an idiot at the same time. I'm not disparaging that part of Kanye.
Jeff is a little bit, you're a little tied in. You grew up in Southfield on the main streets. this isn't just a Kanye thing, though, right? Like, there's always a problem with black celebrities who get in trouble. Because there's guys defending Cosby right now.
Yeah, I feel like what it is I feel like the white man has done so much damage to black entertainment throughout the years that the black community isn't quick to point fingers at their own when there's been a history of history of white people that have mistreated black entertainers. So it's like, you know, you really have to prove it. They're not going to just immediately banish one of their own, you know.
Meanwhile,
especially when there's, like, you know, Ted Nugent's out there that just get to walk around.
Well, meanwhile, white people will throw you under the bus immediately. Like, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, nobody stood up and was like, oh, Louis C.K.
Yeah. Like, we don't.
Maybe some people did, but it wasn't like a big, like, Chris, a couple weeks ago, the Metro Times, that I write for sometimes, they wrote an article that was, and I had nothing to do with this, but one of the people wrote an article that was like, hey, that huge piece of garbage Chris Brown is playing, but why don't you go see why don't you go see these other shows instead? Yeah. Like, she totally editorialized and was like, Chris Brown's literally the worst. Don't go see that show. Go see this show. And there was a huge comment thread where people were outraged that they were tearing down Chris Brown. I'm like, but Chris Brown actually is a wife beater.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And like, there's a defense of Chris Brown that seems weird.
Yeah, I think a lot of people just try to find it's a poor argument, in my opinion, but people just bring up a person who's done worse things. And then that way they think it excuses all the other
things. It is weird not everything is comparable. You can have everyone can be a bad guy or nobody.
Or you could just think two people are bad guys.
Yeah.
So, like, right now people are like, well, they're taking R. Kelly off of the radio. They're taking Kanye off the radio, but R. Kelly's still on the radio.
Yeah,
bad for different people. One guy had sex with little kids, and one said slavery is a choice. Like, those are two different things. And just because one got punished and one fully didn't yet doesn't make the other thing excusable.
Yeah,
it's a weird loop where somebody will go, you know, Floyd Mayweather, who is like an obvious pile of garbage to anybody who's paying attention. He's a great boxer, but he's also a great boxer to 97-pound women.
Yes.
You know, you know what I mean? Like, there's a guy who's an obvious wife beater. Or, you know, if Rob Gronkowski was punching women in the face.
Yeah.
Well, actually, you know what? Never mind. I take that back, because Ben Roethlisberger allegedly...
He took a lot of shit. I mean, look.
Date raped women and people are still here for him.
But yeah, but maybe the bigger question is, should we separate people's personal behavior for their art? And if you can separate those, you can enjoy a Floyd Mayweather fight and still think he's a piece of garbage and think that Ben Roethlisberger is a good quarterback or that R. Kelly's a good singer, and maybe you're not wrong. I don't know.
See, I mean, I think you can mentally separate it in, like, a conversation, like, on who's the best, just, like, you know, around the water cooler type of thing. But technically, if you buy somebody, you are encouraging that behavior, because if they still have money to tour, then you're still supporting that act, you know?
Yeah, it's where do you come down? Are you supporting Kanye? Are you a fan? Are you going to
I think it's impossible not to. Like, I'm not going to buy a new album of his, but, like, I'm already paying money to use Spotify.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean? Like, the money's going to go to him no matter what at this point.
Well, you know, John Lennon slapped a bitch or two around. And I still liked his records. So I don't know. Just Kanye is such an obvious moron. Like, he just he's a guy. OK, he just doesn't have a education.
I think that this last time was him trying to force some genius. I think that he said some really deep things. And I think that he's had moments of, like, wow, this is a really intelligent person. But then if it's an interview and you can't be interviewed and have the goal of sounding like a genius. You know what I mean? You might not have anything smart to say. He just forces things.
He may think he's a genius. Well, yeah, about everything. Even if he is a musical genius, it doesn't make you genius about everything.
And I think that attitude you see like in fashion, for example, it's like there's people that have spent their entire lives learning what fashion is. I have no idea what fashion is, but I'm confident that I know so little. I know just as little as Kanye does. You know what I mean? Like, what do you mean? Like, he started a clothing. His ego was big enough for him to just immerse himself in the fashion industry.
But that's a marketing.
No knowledge.
That's a marketing thing where you're like, if you have a hit record, then you have to become a mogul.
Yeah, like, well, that's become the MO of entertainers.
Like
now.
Diddy. Like every hip hop guy.
I feel like Diddy learns about the business
and stuff.
I feel like Diddy like takes time to learn how a business works. And Kanye had some shirts that were just some white tees.
What about Yeezy?
And he was like, "This is my name on a white tee." And I'm like, "No, it's not. It's just your name on a white tee."
Well, okay.
Why would anybody pay $50 for that?
Now, unlike the other two, Jay-Z, I can kind of respect his rap. I can
respect the hustle, Corey.
I can respect some of his work. I don't really care for Puffy at all, but you know, Jay-Z's got a line of waffle irons, and you know, I'm just saying, it's like you can't just make records; you got to like brand yourself.
Yeah, well, I mean, because they know that's where the money is. I mean, it's a shrewd business move, but it's also really bad business when you're trying to sell sneakers
now
to African Americans, and you're talking about slavery in a dumb way.
Now, Jeff, I know
so he's not that well thought out.
No. He's not thought of.
All right.
Jeff, I know you have an exciting line of products to tell us about now.
Like, Bernie wants to make fun of them for selling the sneakers and stuff, and I'm like, I mean, I still got to sell CDs.
Well,
that I don't care.
Jeff's got a bumper sticker that's now, $2 for $3 that you better buy after the show.
To really knock their business model in.
Based on this weekend, you have a new line you want to tell us about, right? The Jeff Horst erotic enhancement line. The marital aid line from Jeff. Right. Tell us about your weekend and what this is a first for me. I'd never heard this happen.
I was at Dr. Grin's in Grand Rapids, and it was a good weekend. I was with Miss Pat.
It's a very good
she's
club.
Funny.
Yeah.
She's hilarious, and I loved working with her. And there was a night Saturday early show where there was 5 bachelorette parties.
Oh,
and
fun. God.
So,
yes,
or as we call it, the Bataan Death March. 5 bachelorette parties. That's like an ambush.
Yes. Yeah, that is an ambush. Yes, and so at one point, just mentioning the topic of sex jokes, because it's sometimes you can clearly hear just the mention of sex existing where the audience woos too loudly. We're like, oh, you're not even listening for jokes. Yeah. You're just listening for curse words.
Hey, who likes titties?
Yeah. And so just saying the word dick, and then they screamed, and then somebody waved a wiggling dildo. And then so that's what got my attention, was that it didn't seem like a hard dildo, so I didn't understand the purpose of what its use was for.
One of those floppy jelly ones, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then so she interrupted the show, and then she threw the dildo on the stage.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until me making fun of her for a couple minutes that I realized that I didn't react as crazily as I would have imagined when I started comedy.
Yeah.
Right when I started comedy and I met either of you two, if you guys would have been like, hey, Jeff, one day somebody's going to throw a dildo while you're on stage, I would have imagined, holy crap, that's going to be insane.
Yeah.
Instead, it was like I was already in the moment for a couple minutes.
So did you
realize
there? Now there is a clip available. There's a clip of this bit, and it's very funny.
Yeah, on my Facebook page, there's a clip.
All right,
we'll link to that, Angel. But did you catch it in your mouth, or did you have to fight that instinct, or did you just naturally?
See, I just left it on the stage, and I told them that they could get it back if they behave themselves.
Of course, that's what I do with my girlfriend. I take it away and go look. If you're good, you'll get this back.
Then I started my next joke, and everybody was fine, but then somebody from the other side of the audience threw some purple beads on the stage.
Okay.
And it restarted the entire shenanigans all over again. When I talked to the after the show, the girl said, I'm sorry,
Of course.
It just felt like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
That's what she said.
I have never seen, in all that I've seen, I've worked many, many bachelorette party rooms. I've seen dicks on the stage, you know.
No, I've seen the giant inflatable dick come
right,
on stage. And
right,
those
but I've never seen him throw a dildo. That was a first for me.
I've seen things similar to that.
I've had a Diet Coke thrown at me.
Yeah, well, that's
Here was another twist at the end of it. Was the apparently the girl who threw the dildo is the sister of one of the women who was getting married.
Oh, yeah.
And she came up to me after the show and said that that was hers.
Oh.
She makes them for a living.
Oh,
wow.
Full time in her basement.
Wow, that's...
And that was one of the ones that she didn't like the way it turned out. So she gave it to her sister.
It was a misfire. What kind of a sister is that? She's like, here's a limp cock for
you.
Yeah,
well,
play around.
Well,
with
if you're getting ready for marriage, that's probably going to be an appropriate gift.
Oh my god!
Yeah, like you couldn't even give your sister one of your favorites.
No,
you gave your sister one of your throwaway hand-me-down dildos.
Look, Darlene, you're my sister, and I love you very much. So. Here is the two-hander dander purple penetrator. This was molded after Lexington Steel's cock. It's a huge. I wonder if they ever made a Milton Berle cock. Did they ever make one?
I don't know if Milton would have been in the business of having his cock.
Oh.
I'm sure you can buy a Ron Jeremy or some guy, Peter.
Jeff. You know that Milton Berle famously had a huge wang.
That who?
Milton Berle famously had a huge wang.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, there you go.
I'll Google it.
Yeah, you'll Google it. Yeah, you'll Google it.
All right,
Jeff, what else you got going on? Because you did the Heart in the City special with Kevin Hart.
I did Heart in the City, and that was with three other comics in the Detroit area.
Well, who cares about them? You're the big star. Oh, wait, no.
Yeah, don't mention them.
Okay.
No, we know those guys too. Go ahead.
Okay. And Kevin Hart had a round table interview with all of us, and then we each did somewhere between a minute to 5 minutes split up in the episode of stand up. And then from that, the producers of that asked me to do there's a half hour special. That's a similar format, but it's just one comic. So it's a half hour. It's a Comedy Central Presents, but 2 minutes of it will be Kevin Hart and me having an interview in the beginning of it, which most of it will be of the interview, I think, will be him making fun of my high school mustache.
All right. Well,
which is a rich target.
Yeah, he's
for parody.
He's stealing our bit. What is he doing that for? Kevin's ripping us off. What the fuck? All right.
No, Jeff was out there hanging out in the pool at the Standard Hotel.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I realized that when I was there, they put me at a hotel that was nice enough that I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to be able to afford to come back here anytime soon. Yeah. Why would I go see the sights in L.A.? I can go to a museum or something or see a pretty mountain some other day.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to be on this rooftop on a Tuesday drinking a martini from a pool.
That is a nice hotel because they project movies across the street onto the building.
Well, that's a notorious party hotel.
Yeah.
And the pool is heated, which was cool. And so you could swim at midnight and have a waitress give you drinks in the pool without you going anywhere.
Oh, you know, that's totally true. I used to do junkets and I'd go and stay at the Four Seasons or the Beverly Hilton or any of these hotels. And then when I'm there on my own dime, I'm staying at the La Quinta. It's a totally different experience. But
all right, Jeff.
Jeff is blowing up.
Jeff is.
Women are throwing dildos at you on stage.
It.
That's where it all starts. That's what I hear.
You're taking off. Are you going to bring the mustache back? That's the important question.
I'm not planning on it.
Well, you never know. It could come back.
You might need a hook.
Yeah.
You might need an angle.
See, when I was younger, that was the only facial hair that would grow.
Actually, like a hipster guy might have that mustache now, though.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure other people
A neon ball cap and that mustache might actually be a look someone would wear today.
This was what would you call this mustache? This was the Deion Sanders 1982 mustache. What would you call this thing? It was like a, you know what I mean? It's a little baby stash is what it was. How long did it take you to grow that?
How long? Well, I didn't try to grow it. What it was that I had facial hair at such a young age that it was cool to be the kid in middle school that had facial hair.
Yeah.
And then by the time people get used to it being on your face, even when it's an improvement, when you shave it, people still make fun of you just for something being different.
Yeah.
So then I got all self-conscious and just was like, oh, they made fun of me. I took the insults as sincere, not just joking around. And somehow I convinced myself that I looked better with
you looked cool.
that mustache somehow.
Well, that took a lot of work to convince yourself that.
Well, and, it's...
What it is is when you don't, when people judge you on your personality too much. I had a lot of friends that got along with me, and they just, nobody insulted me enough for it to really hurt my feelings. They would always say it in a joking way. I had too many friends. Maybe if I didn't have any friends.
Yeah.
Well, you were one of what, 3 white people at that high school? You were.
There might have been 10.
Okay. All right.
Especially if you're going all the grades.
Which is the exact reverse of my high school, where it's like there were 10 black
guys. Right. I think there were 2 black guys in my high school, but yeah. I'm not sure. I don't think they were all there at the same time. It could have been more or less. But, you know.
Oh. Well, Jeff, we're proud of you out there. I think Kevin Hart likes you because you are only about a foot taller than him.
Yeah,
whereas most people tower over him. Right. Like Andre the Giant,
they pointed that out in the interview part of the special. They set like a
Kevin
a
stood on a box
for him to like step on. They gave him like a box to step on. They were doing like the promo thing,
yeah.
And then he stepped on it just because they put it in front of him. And then he looked over and he was like, "What the hell are you guys doing? Everybody knows that Jeff is taller than me. My height isn't a secret at this point. This is just weird. Why would it? I don't want people to think that Jeff is 5'5". You know what I mean? Like, so
I interviewed him on the Soul Plane Junket.
Oh.
In like 2004. You were there in the beginning.
Yeah, before anybody knew who Kevin Hart was. And he was funny then.
He was in the 5-year engagement. I was on set with him for a whole day on that movie when I was a featured extra. So we've all had a little slice of Kevin.
Yeah, and then I talked. Yeah, Kevin.
Little tiny slice.
And then I
slice of Kevin. That sounds like a Kevin Hart dedicated.
A slice
podcast.
Of heaven. That is it. See, I'm good like that. I'm going to start that,
well,
Jeff.
No, that's going to be his pizza joint.
Slice of Kevin.
It's his pizza chain that he opens up. And
all right. Well, Jeff is very big in the black community. He's the blackest white guy you'll ever know, Jeff Horst.
Jeff is big in the Mexican community.
I will tell you this, Jeff, and I don't know if you know this about me. I'm going to say I'm blacker than Jeff now because my girlfriend has a bigger ass than his. That's what I'm willing to throw. I'm throwing down the gauntlet, Jeff.
Wow. That's shots fired.
I'm throwing it down.
I don't think that's really shots fired. I'm not really the person that brags about being black.
No, I know.
Say that on my behalf.
I know. This is all just me.
We're busting your chops. He doesn't brag about it. We all talk about it when Jeff's not around, but he doesn't brag about it himself.
I am very excited for the success of your career. Now go make some white people laugh. go
someday.
Go impress
someday I'll get the white.
Go impress some people with actual money and
the black people laugh and the white people throw dicks at him.
Oh my
god. So that's his career right now. He needs to break through.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe
you need to break through to the mainstream, Jeff.
Maybe you want to throw that the other way around. I don't know. Oh, God,
all right,
Jeff.
Jeff. Well, thanks for joining us.
Great, Jeff Horst. Thanks for calling in, man.
We answered nothing, thanks, but it's good to talk to you. Continue.
Is there anything else you want to plug?
Talk to you guys later.
Are you going
to
be anywhere that we can see you?
In a couple of weeks, I'm headlining Ann Arbor Comedy Showcase.
All right. Well,
There we go. Go check that out.
All right, Jeff. Thanks for calling, brother.
The great Jeff Horst. Thank
Jeff
you.
Horst. There he goes. There it is. Our Kanye correspondent.
There he is.
But I swear to God, I thought Brett Mercer was calling in. I really did. I really did think Brett Mercer was calling in. I thought for all Kanye coverage, but that was good. That was
Jeff's a good guy.
Yeah, Jeff's a funny guy.
And we're happy for him to
I'm sure he's either been at like O'Mara's when I was doing those or something. I'm sure Jeff's been on before.
So yeah, he's
we're going to talk about Conan. Do you want to get into that here?
Or sure.
Because Conan's
Maybe he'll get a Conan spot
right before it's over.
Our buddy Brad Wenzel did Conan.
But I think Conan, and I think Jesse Pop's been on this show in some capacity in the past.
Jesse
he's on the
writing
staff for
Conan,
there. But
yeah.
I would think when going to tournament format means no more stand-ups.
Well,
I mean, I can't imagine.
Cut guests out, right? Or does that mean?
Well, I think he would. I mean, the studio audience coming back. I don't know enough about this whole Conan thing, but it seems like it will be more remote. More like Clueless Gamer kind of stuff, maybe a couple segments a night, and you know more of a magazine type format or a
I don't know because look, Conan's been doing the late night gig since 1993, with a brief interruption when he got fired from Tonight Show, right? I mean, he's been doing this a long time. So he's been doing this for 25 years. I think, you know, probably he's probably tired of the format.
Yeah, and I think, you know, viewership is going to be down across the board for everybody. I mean, if you look at Conan at his biggest, which would have been the Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien, to what TBS is doing every night, and you're trying to basically do that same quality show, it's going to be a challenge with the budget, you know.
I think he's going in the, I think he's on TBS, which limits his, which is going to limit his raw numbers anyway, because it, either people don't have cable or they're not watching TBS, no matter what the lead in is or what Big Bang Theory reruns or whatever is going on.
The lead in to Conan, not necessarily.
Two Broke Girls and now Conan. But he's doing really well online. He does really well with his Team Coco clips and his YouTube clips and all this stuff that hits. He's doing millions and millions of downloads and clicks on this stuff, and I think that's what he's
And
angling towards. I think he also likes doing the remotes more.
Yeah.
He likes going out. He did one where he was in Haiti recently.
To me, it sounds like he gave a lot of money just in the production of the show.
Yeah.
But also that half hour means that you're getting less ad revenue. So or either that or it was just it was strictly either it could be a chicken and the egg thing. Did the budget get cut and this is the result? Or are they doing this to save money on the budget? I mean, you could look at it either way.
Or are they going to do a half hour show and more web content?
I don't know.
But I don't think the format of Conan comes out, does a 10-minute monologue.
Yeah.
Then they do a desk set piece. Then they do maybe two desk set pieces. Mm-hmm. Then the guest comes out. Then the second guest. Then a musical guest.
Yeah.
That format's a little played out.
It's old. It's hard to find.
And Conan is not the best interviewer.
No, but he's not, in the grand scheme of things, he's not the worst.
No, he's better than Fallon.
Yes.
But who isn't?
Hold on. I'm going to give you an answer.
Okay.
No, I can't. No, no, he's the worst. He's the worst. No, you're right. No, yeah. I was going to give you an answer.
I think Fats, CC Dynamite's puppet, is a better interviewer of guests.
I mean, it is
than,
Byron Allen's Comics
Unleashed
is better than Jimmy Late Night.
Norm MacDonald's line about Comics Unleashed.
And what is his line about
You've never been more leashed in your life.
By the way, he did an hour, and I only know this because I'm on 910 on Tuesday, and I'm watching, and we have all, have you been in the 910
studios? I've been
studios?
In the 910
studios, yeah. It's all of the television showing all the late night stuff.
Right.
And they did an hour, Jimmy Fallon did, with Ariana Grande, her comeback return. So it was singing, comedy, sketches, interviews, all Ariana Grande for 60 minutes, Corey.
Well, Jimmy is my age, and so I feel like
which Johnny would have done that, right? If Johnny was still around,
yeah,
he would have given her an hour.
Johnny never, but by the way, Johnny didn't like rock and roll. He never had bands on. He was like Artie Shaw. That's hot music for you. You know what I mean? Like
yes,
like he was like Max Roach. There's a musician. He had a big band. He never had rock and roll on.
No,
I thought it was interesting on that Elvis special that they took a direct shot at Steve Allen.
Steve Allen didn't like rock and roll either.
No, but he had it on.
Yes.
Unlike Johnny, he had like Jerry Lee Lewis and Elvis on and stuff, but they said he humiliated Elvis by making him do Hound Dog.
To a dog.
Right. Conan always had music.
Yeah, he's always had good music.
Kimmel and Conan have always had good music.
And Letterman and all those guys.
Yeah, Colbert has music too.
Yeah.
But Johnny never gave a rock band a
break. Well, I mean, is Conan, first of all, I don't even know that it's bad to be done. I don't even know if Conan being off. I'm sure there's a money. I don't know that being off television would be the worst thing for Conan O'Brien at this point.
Oh, I think Conan loves it though.
I think he does too.
I think he loves TV. I don't think he would even give up the studio audience. I think they'll just come out, do a monologue and some bits.
Yeah,
they'll just cut the guests.
Yeah, maybe.
Or they might have a guest once in a while, or whatever.
The guest will be part of the bit, like he had.
Yeah,
he had Bill Hader on to play God of War on Clueless Game.
Yeah, I think they'll kind of segue into doing more of like celebrity bits.
Yeah,
instead of traditional talk show format.
Look, I ain't watching Conan as it is, so I'm not really gonna pine away for that format because I'm just kind of done with that format. I'm never watching a late night talk show live as it happens anymore ever. I will like record a Sky, or if I hear is a good interview, I'll go and try to find the segment online. But I'm rarely, if ever, watching a late night talk show as it happens.
We will watch Colbert and Kimmel. Hmm. We usually switch between those two.
Okay.
And then my disgust for Fallon. No, usually means I skip it.
Deservedly so.
But once in a while, Fallon will have a guest on, and we'll go. Well, like he had Roseanne on, and Fallon asked her none of the questions.
No, not at all.
If she had been on Kimmel or Colbert, she would have gotten asked.
Yeah.
Didn't ask her any of the questions. Just was like, "Hey, wow, you got like both Beckys on the show. It's kind of crazy."
Yeah, man.
Right, like you got a Becky one, and then the other Becky.
Yeah.
Is that was weird?
Yeah. He's an interesting fellow, that Jimmy Fallon. God, he's people are going to look back on that, and he will be derided.
Yeah,
I mean, it's almost like I almost feel like it's a little bit like, and maybe not a direct analogy, like Rosie O'Donnell's daytime talk show, which now you mention that to people and they just cringe about what an awful piece of shit it was. Now we and guys like Howard Stern were talking about what a piece of shit Rosie O'Donnell's daytime talk show was as it was happening.
Hey.
But at the time, people were eating that shit up with a spoon.
Every day in the past 15 years have said what a piece of shit that Ellen talk show is.
Oh, the Ellen talk show is awful,
too. But people love that.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know how much people are going to turn on the Ellen show as much, but I do feel like Fallon was sort of given the reins of this historically great thing.
Well, it's really funny.
And completely ruined it, whereas, you know.
Through history's prism. Guys are still huffing Johnny Carson's farts.
Yeah, they are.
In fact, I just listened to the Carson podcast with an aged Chevy Chase.
You said you wanted me to play that. Do you want that now?
Oh, you should hear the Chevy.
All right, well, tell us about it a little more.
Well, it's just
podcast.
Like it's just sad to hear Chevy sounding like he's asking his wife, like, "Janie, did we do that? When?" And it just you hear a little bit of. You're gonna have to probably fast forward.
No, I'll get it. I'll hold on a second. I'll sort of.
Yeah.
Fast forward to it, or
he doesn't do a lot of intro. He'll do maybe a couple minutes, 2 minutes of intro. But this guy hosts this thing called the Carson Podcast, where he just selects people that were on the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson.
Yeah,
like anybody who's alive that did Carson.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy Mark Malkoff has watched every episode of the Tonight Show,
the ones that exist.
Yeah, right, because the first 8 or 9 years got thrown in the dumpster,
mm-hmm.
other than selected clips.
Yeah.
Because nobody thought a talk show would be memorable.
But aren't some of the clips surviving from like local affiliates had tapes running and things like
and
that?
And the Carson
would time shift it and then
the Carson estate. Yeah. This is crazy. Like this happened with a lot of old TV. Like,
and old movies, too. You know, some old movies only exist in, like, television versions because they're sitting in a vault somewhere on some UHF station.
There's some crazy number, like, 70% of all the movies before 1938 are gone.
Yeah, because they were on nitrate film that is flammable and they were destroyed.
And, like, there was, like a whole chunks of Doctor Who in the early years that are missing. And then, like, they'll find cans in Nigeria. Because, like, the station in Nigeria had it.
Beatles on Top of the Pops.
Right.
Is missing and never been found.
Oh, really?
Yep. Doesn't exist.
What is that footage that's in Pop Gear that's in color? That's a tour footage.
That's something called Beatles Come to Town, which was a newsreel. So that was shot on anamorphic film. It's widescreen color.
Yeah.
Maybe the first color footage of the Beatles ever filmed.
So they don't have their Top of the Pops, apparently.
No, it's missing. BBC lost it. Or
which,
taped over it.
Which, you know,
and there's a lot of that vintage television stuff that the Beatles did, but just not.
Like, what about
that
them on
show?
Morecambe and Wise?
Well, all of those, that stuff exists. Yeah, it's one of the few that is missing, but yeah.
The Top of the Pops.
Yeah.
But anyway, I wish they would lose Jimmy Fallon's entire catalog.
Well, you want me to play Chevy?
Yeah, let me hear some Chevy. Let's hear.
I mean, it's playing right now. I'm just going to fade it up.
Let's hear.
I have no idea what it's random.
Well, you
12
can.
Just, minutes
I just want you to hear how old Chevy sounds. Right, it's depressing.
At that point, and, you know. A consummate professional, and he knew how to do it, and whether he was in a good mood or a bad mood, he had to do it every night. And
they're talking about Johnny.
He was excellent that way, and it also worked for him. I think that it made his day a little more easy that he had that to do and didn't have to worry about all the
God, does he sound old?
I'm EQing the treble out of this,
too. In 1986, it was Paul Simon, Jay Leno, and Marky Post. You said it was very challenging.
Was it Marky Post?
Yes, it was Marky Post.
I wonder who that is.
She was on Night Court.
Absolutely.
what was your experience like guest hosting The Tonight Show?
Oh, it wasn't particularly difficult. I guess I might have been nervous because... you know, it's contained, and it's
just,
also...
All right. Chevy just sounds ancient, doesn't he?
I can link to that in there. So.
And, you know, he's also got a little bit of bitterness in there, too, with the typical... Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, he's like, hey, Harry Shearer, he's a funny guy.
And, yeah.
Takes himself real seriously, but, he's a real funny guy. Anyway, Chevy just sounds like an old rambling dirtbag.
Well,
it's kind of sad.
I'm sure you can find clips of the Chevy Chase late night talk show on YouTube if you want to see the worst
this
show.
This guy doesn't ask him about that at all.
Yeah, because Chevy probably didn't want to talk about it. Well, didn't he talk to Gilbert about it when Chevy was on with Gilbert?
You know,
I think they did.
I don't know, but he didn't ask about the most infamous Chevy Chase Tonight Show appearance where he and Gallagher got in a fight.
Oh, okay. What did Gallagher and him fight about?
Well, Chevy was just shitting on him for being a prop comic. Okay, yeah. And Gallagher's like, yeah, but man, all you do is fall down. Or and they just did like a... It's kind of great if you can find it. It's just them like sniping at each other. And, you know, back then, like Johnny would put everybody on the couch.
Yeah. So panel.
So like Chevy's like sitting down the couch when Gallagher's on doing his bit. And Chevy's like, is that it? Is that the whole thing?
Well, because...
Is that the whole bit?
Because Under the Rainbow was coming out and Chevy was in there plugging.
Yeah, they're promoting his movie about the drunk midgets from The Wizard of Oz.
All right, well, speaking of podcasts, because you talk about that, I want to give you a tip here, and I didn't really even realize this happened. I read some articles.
Nobody's going to be doing the Fallon podcast in 20 years.
Fuck, we won't. We might just to be making fun of it.
But it'll be the James Corden cast. We'll remember all the times he did karaoke.
So Google, you know, we've talked about getting podcasts and how to get podcasts and how to get this show and other things over the years. And you can go to joelradio.net and download every episode we've ever done of Joel Radio, Corey and Joel Radio, whatever you want. It's all up there. But now Google is in the game and they're trying to change the game, Corey. I don't know if you're aware of this.
No.
But Google now will download podcasts and manage them for you. Now, it does it on mobile through a thing called the Google Assistant app. Do you know what the Google Assistant app is, Corey?
Well, no, I don't.
The Google Assistant app is basically where it is. And I think if you have an Android phone, you probably already have the Google Assistant installed at this point on modern versions of Android. Basically, it's where you can click on it and it has the voice you can talk to and ask commands, sort of like Siri. Mm-hmm. And it does all that. It apparently Google's version of voice recognition is the leading in the industry, so it is the best, and it will work with your lights, whatever you have that is internet connected. It will work with all those things. It will do tasks for you. You know, what temperature is it going to be tomorrow? And hey Google, or okay Google, I think you say you can set it up. See, look, it went off. People are doing it. I probably just set off everybody's phone. I apologize. But anyway.
Well, so this
my
is,
apologies.
So this, see, this is, it's talking to us right now.
So basically, this is a phone app version of, like, if you got an Alexa tower.
Right, yeah, and it's just built into your phone. So anyway, I'm going to turn off the Google Assistant here. But basically, if you have that installed and you type even into your browser, to get Joel Radio, because I was trying to get it to get Joel Radio on there, I had to type in Joel Radio, all one word, and then the word podcast. And it said the Joel Radio podcast, and it lists all the episodes there, just like it would in Stitcher or any podcast-catching app, and it gives you the option to download it. You can play it. You can close the app and resume it. It says it will automatically delete the episodes after you finish listening to it. It will automatically delete it after 7 days if you've never listened to it. It does everything a really good podcast app would do, and it does it for nothing. And the great thing about it is a couple other things about it. One is if you just, in my case, I use Stitcher, and I'm pretty happy with it because I have the Stitcher Premium where I get Gilbert's bonus episodes. Mm-hmm. It's $35 a year or whatever. I have the Mark Maron archives on there, so I have a lot of, you know, some bonusy type things. Cliff Nesterhoff's podcast is on there. Mm-hmm. I have some bonusy things. But something like Penn Sunday School, which is on Podcast One, you can't get through Stitcher, but this Google podcast app will get anything. if it's a public RSS feed. And the thing about it is you can actually drop the podcast, as you see right here. Here I have it for Joel Radio, right on your phone. So if on my phone I can click, it says joelradio.net, I click and I can listen to any episode of joelradio.net in the feed right from there and manage everything there. So you can do multiple shows, or if there's just that one show that you want to listen to, or the one show that's not on the app that you're already using.
You don't have to subscribe.
You don't have, you want, you can subscribe if you want. That's by having the button, it goes on. It doesn't, a button is essentially a subscription to it, but yeah. It really doesn't, you don't even really have to subscribe as long as you, it's just a link to it. It's a direct link to the podcast. I click on joelradio.net. It has the description. It has all the shows there. I can download them, listen to
now,
them, listen
to
them later.
Do you have to go to Podcast Pickle to use
you
this?
You don't have to do anything. It's great. It's built in. If you don't have Google Assistant, I believe it's available on
Podcast Alley.
You don't have to go to Podcast Alley, Podcast Pickle, God, or any of Podbean, none of that shit. Just
those were the early days.
To Google. And type in the name of the show you like in podcast, and you will probably be able to get it on your phone, managed for you. It's wonderful. Use it. It's great.
This sounds great because...
That's how I got the Carson podcast in 2 seconds. Because you asked that. Right. And I said, oh, I can use Google now. I don't have to go to the page and download it or subscribe through a third-party app.
And then, you know, the iTunes...
You don't have to do any of that
shit. The iTunes app is annoying.
Right. Just do... If you have the Google Assistant, do this. It's seamless with the browser. If you're using Chrome browser, it's seamless. It's fantastic. I love it. I'm still using Stitcher because that does a good job for what I want it to do. But if you just want one episode, if you just want to, you know, quickly check, you know, I have Penn Sunday School
now,
right
we,
on
can
here.
You rate the podcast on there?
You know what? I don't even know if it's, but see, that's what I like about it. It just
well,
cuts.
We
it,
haven't
it's
asked,
less
by the
of
way,
a barrier if, between you and the listener.
If anyone,
than it is.
If anyone's listening to
oh,
this.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Go, please give us a 4-star rating or higher.
You can review us on iTunes,
on
thumbs
iTunes.
Up on Stitcher.
Give us thumbs
like
up
that.
And 4 stars. And I don't know why.
Well, yeah, I guess you can subscribe. I guess I have subscribed to Penn Sunday School, but I don't even know if it's required. You can
well,
subscribe.
That's good because, God, look, as I was just mentioning Podcast Alley and Podcast Pickle.
Yeah.
The fakakta ways you had to do podcasting in the.
Like, it is, yes.
When we started in the Pleistocene era, you know, back when Chevy Chase was a young fella. Back when he was riding a tricycle.
Yes.
You really had to go through a lot of mishigas to get a podcast.
Should I do the...
There was an RSS feed, and you had to find a thing to aggregate the feeds, and the whole... It was a real mess.
Are you ready for the Joel Radio Classic episode of the week before we do movies and then get out of here?
Yeah, you had to get this on Podcast Pickle. Oh, God, we haven't even talked about the Fakakta.
We haven't
Infinity
talked
War.
About Avengers yet.
Oh, Jesus, let's wrap
the fuck
this
are
up.
We doing?
All right, I don't know.
All right, Joel Radio's... Well, this is the Corey and Joel Radio Show. I picked this one from March 6th, 2008, Corey.
Mm.
Remember, what were you doing March 6th, 2008?
Good God knows.
Who knows either. But this is what was going on this show. It was called The Best TV Ever.
This was before the Obama era.
It is with great pride that Corey and Joel round down the best TV on the best show on TV right now, and that is the wonderful Big Brother 9. Some of you are thinking that Big Brother is the most retarded, stupid, and shallowest of the network reality shows, and you'd be right. But it's also filled with drunken ex-strippers recreating a strip club in the living room, naked chicken fights, lesbian makeouts, skinny dipping, and all the genius-level invention of Bikini Day, quote-unquote. The guys discuss why this season is better in years past and why Showtime subscription is worth every penny and how Joel plans on using the show to help him get laid. I don't even know what that means.
How did that work?
I'm not sure. It was 2009. I did okay that year. Also, the guys unveil a new interactive feature that could change the Corey and Joel show forever. Have a pen and paper handy. Plus, Corey dumps on 2 new movies. Guys wear dresses for pay, or do they? I don't even remember what that means. And Joel is really attracted to Peter Pan. I think I remember what that was about.
I have no recollection.
I think they cast, I'm not going to ruin it, I believe they cast a really hot actress to play Peter Pan. And I was in it. But anyway, here's a little bit. What?
Wait, that wasn't the Allison Williams Peter Pan.
I think
Pan.
It might have been the Allison
no,
Williams
that
Peter
couldn't
Pan.
Have been that long ago.
In 2008? Yeah. I think.
No.
I don't know.
Pushing your shit in.
Oh, yeah. This. So I, what minute do you want to hear of?
Well, that was our great announcer, Rob the Foghorn Rose.
Yeah. Well, what minute do you want to hear of that? You got 79 minutes to choose from, Corey. How deep you want to go?
Because
that Big Brother was great because that was the one where there was the writer's strike. And they put on the spring Big Brother. And everyone
no,
got
Allison
went crazy.
Williams was 2014.
All right. I don't know. I do not know. You will have to listen to this classic episode of Joel Radio. What, how far you want to go in?
Like 34 minutes.
34 minutes. Let me slide this over. 34 minutes in. Here's some Joel, Corey and Joel Radio.
Tangentially. It's a side item. So. Yeah. Let's play more Vampire Weekend. We'll be back with more show.
Oh, I was going to the break.
Right after
this. Whoops.
We're playing Vampire Weekend. Well, let's go back a
couple
minutes.
That was back when we just played music.
Let's play 28 minutes in.
Yeah. I did the DVD.
This has been the most rewarding season of Big Brother. If from a pure, look, I hate myself when I watch Big Brother. I really do. But this year, they've given me the fucking goods.
Right.
I can't complain.
You can't complain.
With them just finally giving me what I want. And a lot of times at Big Brother, it's they play their kid-ish. They're like, ooh, I'm not going to show anything.
Well,
like,
that was Eric and Jessica last year. And they became a couple, but they never really did anything in the house. They were kind of flirted and they kissed each other a
These
couple
people
times.
Accept yeah. money to go on television and be tramps and whores.
Oh, they're making
And then
out.
They get in the house and they all go,
yeah.
tee-hee-hee.
Not this year, man.
No, this year it's all out there.
There's a guy mad on the show. And from day one, I hated this guy.
Sure.
He's a good-looking guy. He's got his Boston accent. He's kind of like this. He's a construction worker. He's all tattooed.
All right, I think that's enough of that. But you can listen
Some
to that.
In-depth Big Brother coverage.
Well, it's funny. And I think that guy, one of those guys or two of those guys had like an OxyContin ring or some sort of MDMA ring, and they ended up going to jail, but they were, you know, making out with all
I
these girls
on Big
Brother. I
haven't watched Big Brother since then.
And it's funny how talking about, you know, how, oh my God, they're going crazy on this reality show, where now reality shows are, the tamest one is wilder than this fucking Big Brother that we're talking about, I think. So times have changed.
I do remember there was one season where they just did give in and get...
Yeah, I think this is the one. It was the writer's strike.
Hot tub night.
They threw one in. Yeah, you remember the girl was shooting milk out of her boobs?
That was that season.
That was the one we're talking about.
This was 10 years ago, and I probably haven't watched Big Brother since.
No, I've stopped watching Big Brother. I've stopped watching Amazing Race. I've stopped watching Survivor, the big CBS trilogy.
How is Survivor still on? I don't even get it.
I don't know.
I haven't been remotely interested. I did watch Amazing Race, although you know what? We didn't even see the end.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Like, we forgot to watch the finale.
Yeah.
But boy, that Survivor, I don't get who can watch that.
Yeah. Jeff's going to be in a wheelchair at the finish line of Amazing Race.
Jeff Horst?
No, the host.
Oh.
Jeff What's Probst? His name? Not Jeff Probst. Who's the guy that hosts Amazing Race? The Aussie guy.
Phil.
Phil
Keegan.
Yeah. Phil Kogan. All right, let's do... do you want to talk about Barry on HBO? It's real good. It hasn't ended yet. If you haven't watched Barry with Bill Hader, get that. It's real good.
We're 4 hours into
this. One of the great episodes ever. Let's move on. We're moving on.
All right. It's a good show. Watch
Westworld, are you into that this season?
No.
Okay, we'll move on. I've only seen two of the three that have aired at this point. But
I watched the first one and went, boy, this show thinks it's important.
Okay. Here's the only thing, because you can really spoil Westworld, and I don't want to. Here's the thing about Westworld. The first season I thought was really good, and I think you liked it, too, when we talked about it when it aired. But it built up, we're going to have all these questions, and you had all these questions, and you were waiting for the season finale where they answered all the questions. Now they have to do season two and sort of create all new questions, and it sort of feels like, hey, all we wanted was we wanted to be satisfied that things were going to be concluded in a way, and now you're just rehashing all that old stuff. And maybe that's not as fresh, but I still like it. I'm in.
A lot of series have a problem of just continuing. The Walking Dead suffers the worst, hey, why do we justify having 32 episodes a year? Yeah. I don't know.
All right.
Stretch it out.
Yeah. Movie reviews here real quick. The Greatest Showman, which neither of us saw for a best of the year. And I saw it this past week on video.
How did that change your list?
It did not change my list. It's not that good. It is one of those movies that there are people that will tell you The Greatest Showman was the best movie last year, man. It got robbed. And
my in-laws, who go to like two movies a year, went and saw that one.
Yeah.
That was the one. Like they rarely go to the movies.
I know.
And they went and saw that one and loved it. And I'm like, okay.
It is getting some traction now in home video or whatever. And
what's home video?
Well, it's people watching it not in a theater.
People getting it on Laserdisc?
I will.
How's it doing on beta rentals?
It's doing well, I think. Getting a good
Holy shit.
It's filling the revival houses, Corey, but here's the point.
Yes.
A lot of people, and it's funny when I ask people about...
A lot of college film groups are asking for the roadshow print.
When I ask about The Greatest Showman to people, because I know it's the same songwriter people that did La La Land, which we both loved. And this is sort of their next big musical. And I say to people, I go, oh, before I had seen Greatest Showman, well, what'd you think of La La Land? It's those same guys, and I thought La La Land was great. And they'll go, oh, it's better than La La Land. Oh, it's not better than La La Land. It's really not good in a lot of ways.
Well, but somehow what happened was La La Land was a very popular movie.
Yeah.
Made a good deal of money.
Yeah.
Everybody loved it. Got nominated for Oscars.
Yeah.
And then someone somewhere on Jezebel or The Source or The Root threw a switch and was like, This is the white devil's work.
It is a white movie.
And they decided that La La Land had more than two white people in it.
Yes. It had John Legend in it.
I know. Who was, by the way, the whitest character in
it is a movie about jazz starring almost all white people, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, but somebody wrote some op-eds and were like, you must hate La La Land. And then they pitted it against the blackest movie ever made, Midnight.
Yeah.
Or, I don't know.
Moonlight.
Moonlight. Which, by the way, is a movie no one cares
about. It's a middling indie film.
By the way, it's a movie nobody cares about.
A middling indie film.
We're a year away from
yes.
that. No one remembered it. No one cares. And I told you that was going to happen.
Yes.
People still arguing about La La Land. Anyway, there was a switch thrown somewhere in an office and people decided you must hate La La Land because it is the white devil empowered to destroy you. I don't know. It's a good movie.
But anyway, back to Greatest Showman. I mean, look, there are people that love these songs. Here's the problem. La La Land used jazz as sort of the numbers were rooted in jazz and in a little more classical type arrangements. Some of this stuff really just sounds like Justin Timberlake should be singing it in Greatest Showman, and that's annoying. It's also getting a lot of, you know, there's this Is Me song, which is now being used by, like, anti-bullying groups because the bearded lady has her number where she's proudly who she is, and it's kind of like... Yeah, no, it's very self-important in a way that's not good.
Oh no,
it's pompous.
Since no one paid,
in ways that La La Land wasn't.
Since nobody assigned me that movie to go review.
Yeah,
I took one look at it and went, nope.
I mean, look, I'm not completely negative. Oh my God, don't watch this at all because your girlfriend's probably gonna like it or your wife.
My wife.
And if we
not,
have those,
my wife did not
you
request
have those.
It.
If it was on, your wife would probably like it. I'm not saying
she
that your
would probably watch
gonna
it,
ask to watch
but
it.
But she didn't like go, ooh, I got to see
Listen,
that.
With my girlfriend, it was my idea to watch it because America's top film critic, Mike Green, told me to see this thing. And I will always refer to him as America's top film critic.
We should have America's top
we
film
We should have
critic
him in here. Him. I thought about having him in for the best of the movies of the year, but that show's already 12 hours. Who needs him?
Oh God.
But here's the thing. Mike told me to see that, and you know it was okay. Give me a break.
All right,
let's talk about Blockers before we go to Infinity War because I saw that too. Let's talk about Ike Barinholtz, Corey's favorite comedian.
Oh my
Corey,
God.
You want to rip on this guy or should I
why
talk about the movie?
Why are they making
Corey him? Hates Ike Barinholtz of all the guys.
Because
of all the guys on the comedy scene.
Here's what I feel about Ike Barinholtz. First of all, they cast him as a sexy dude in that one Tina Fey movie, Sisters or whatever.
Oh
like,
yeah.
Like they're getting their panties wet over Ike Barinholtz, who looks like you know he's got a gap and he's got a, like a Letterman style gap tooth and just looks like a dork.
He kind of looks like an 80s burnout, but today
yeah
a little
it's
bit
like,
yeah, yeah,
not,
yeah
he's not a like sex pot guy.
No,
they cast him as that. He's not
he's
funny.
A goofy looking guy.
Here's my issue with Ike Barinholtz. There's 85 funnier guys that should be in line
okay.
in front of him. There's 85, you know what I mean? Like there's comic, like, I'm just saying, like Ted Alexandro should get parts that he gets. There's just comics that are funnier than him.
But he's bankable, Corey. He's Ike Barinholtz.
No, he's not bankable.
Why?
He's like the Nick Adams of modern movies.
Right,
I don't
well,
understand. He's not a good actor.
All right, well, let me just tell you about him, because I know you don't like the guy. So this is what I want you to do. I want you to, if you watch Blockers, though,
mm-hmm.
I want you to know. And if you don't see Blockers, I'll ruin it for you.
Okay.
A little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
Everything that you hate about Ike Barinholtz. Yeah. Let's say there was some sort of control panel where you could take everything you hate about Ike Barinholtz.
Mm-hmm.
You would turn all of those things up to 10, blow fuses in the building. It is, I mean, look, John Cena is restrained in his acting next to Ike Barinholtz in this fucking thing.
Well,
it's unbelievable.
It's for people who find Jack Black understated.
It is sort of a little bit. Like, he is sort of the skinnier, more attractive Jack Black. Look, I thought Blockers, there were some laughs in Blockers. It's certainly outrageous. This is a Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg production. So you kind of know what you're dealing with. Leslie Mann stars alongside Ike Barinholtz and John Cena.
Nothing about this appeals to me.
As the parents. Well, first of all, hey, I know it. We don't know officially what the list is of movies The Rock's passed on, but let's assume Blockers is on that list.
Chevy Chase.
And here's why. Let me finish this.
Yeah.
It's a brown daughter. John Cena's daughter is like a brown kid. Now, they explain it because the wife's
Indian.
Wait,
she's going to Brown? She's very smart. She's going to Brown?
He has an Indian wife, John Cena. That's why the daughter's brown. Okay, well, but it's almost like...
Where is the wife? Because it's
we
like...
We kind of...
Because it's like there's
no,
Leslie
no, I know
Mann
what you mean. Yeah.
And then where's his wife? She's not involved in the shenanigans?
Leslie Mann and Cena are married, but Ike Barinholtz is like single dad who's an embarrassment. Yeah. Yeah, that's the plot.
Isaac, where's the other wife?
And then the three daughters are all make a pact to get laid on prom night.
I'm sticking to my guns. After 18 years of professional film criticism,
yeah,
I've now come to the point where I'm like, not today, Satan.
Well, you know what?
I don't endorse the film career of John Cena.
Okay,
I don't like John Cena as a wrestler. I don't like him as an actor. I'm not watching it. I heard it was funny. But whatever, I'll see. There's other funny movies that'll.
Well, okay, so Ike Barinholtz's Ike Barinholtz's wife is now remarried to Hannibal Buress. Speaking of comics who can't act,
Hannibal is a shitty actor.
He's got the range of a bar of soap. This guy.
I mean, he's a funny comic.
Yeah, he can't act at
but
all.
Can't act.
Yeah, his face has no expression whatsoever.
No,
so he's terrible. Gina Gershon plays one of the kids' parents that's at the prom. The girls who play like the high school kids are real good. I thought. I think some of them might have a career after this. There's laughs in this. It's not like the worst thing you'll ever see. You know, it also is really, really vulgar in a way that even like Superbad from 10 years ago seems tame compared to this. It really goes for the naughty. You know, John Cena, you know, butt chugs a beer bong. At one point, and you know, lots of drug use, and it has its outrageous comedy moments. So,
yeah, not interested.
No, okay. I mean, it's again. My thumb is slightly up for Blockers.
My thumb is straight up John Cena's ass. He can sit on.
But
this.
it's also going to be funny with John Cena's career, and maybe they do this for Rock. I don't see enough Rock movies. I mean, I see enough Rock movies, but I don't see all.
How many
rock
is too many?
But you have to explain why the guy is a beefed up, you know, jock. So in this movie, it's like John Cena's a football coach. So there's always going to have to be something about why that guy looks the way he looks.
Yeah, he looks
They have
like,
to write that into
what,
the movie.
What cracks me up about that guy is they couldn't make action movies with him.
I don't know. Well, he's the original Marine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was terrible.
Well, they still make six of those. Now you can watch it with The Miz if you'd rather watch that.
Well, you know, I didn't want Robert De Niro doing comedies. I don't want John Cena doing comedies.
I thought you were going to say I don't want to watch John Cena wrestle, which is what he does best.
I don't
which no. Some people will tell you that too.
Well, I don't like his wrestling gimmick cuz he's all John Deere hats and yeah. By you know, cut off denim shorts. I'm like
white meat baby face.
Yeah, I hate that guy. Oh, anyway,
it's the Blockers. It's done well. It's made. Money.
I'm blocking
80 million. 80 million.
I'm blocking Blockers.
80 million, baby.
From my personal viewing, I will never watch that film.
All right. Avengers, Corey. Tell us about that. Tell us about the nerds and their Avengers.
Avengers: Infinity War is slightly longer than this podcast.
We're pushing it
by almost
We're
2 minutes.
We're pushing it.
It is the culmination of 10 years worth of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah.
And what is it? What do we say? 18 films?
It's 18 or 19. I can't remember. I think it might be 18.
So going back to the first Iron Man movie.
Yeah. Iron Man 1.
So how many of those Marvel movies do you think you had to have watched? So Infinity War has everybody in it, Guardians of the Galaxy, Doctor Strange, the Avengers, they're all in this, Black Panther. All these characters are in this movie. How many of the 18 Marvel movies do you think are essential to watch to understand one thing about this?
I think I can do it in six. Oh. Can I do it in six?
You only need six movies.
I think I can do it in six, and you tell me where I'm wrong.
I'll see if you got the right.
All right, I'm going to do it in six. Okay. This movie is a direct... It ends... The first opening scene... This is the minorest of spoilers. Maybe we might do spoilers, and we'll let you know if we're going to actually do spoilers about the end or whatever. It starts right where Thor Ragnarok ends. So for that reason, watch that. I think it's good to know who the Avengers are. So at least watch the last Avengers, Age of Ultron. I think that will benefit you because there's characters introduced in that. No? Okay, but I'm trying to do it in six. Let me try to do it in six. I think Doctor Strange, which I had only watched a week before I went and saw this at the theater. I had the Blu-ray sitting around in 3D, so me and my girlfriend watched that. So I think Doctor Strange is pretty important to this story. So I think you got to watch Doctor Strange. I think it's important to know who the Guardians of the Galaxy are, because they're a big part of this movie as well. They probably are the best part of this movie, if I'm going to review it. So I think at least watch one Guardians, and I would say watch the first Guardians, if you're going to watch Guardians. So now we're up to four. Captain America Civil War. You should watch.
Yeah.
Because that is really where the Cap Iron Man split happened and that. So that's five.
Winter Soldier you can skip. I would say.
Maybe I got there in five. That might be it.
I would say you should probably watch the first Captain America and watch him in this
order. The first Cap. Okay. Oh. Okay.
Well, because it goes.
I think I did it. I don't know that there's a. I mean.
Well, okay. Because. All right. Now.
You don't really need to watch Ant-Man because he's not in it. You don't.
Here's where the spoilers kick in from this point on.
You want to do spoilers from here on out.
I'm just saying. Okay, they explain...
Okay, we're going to do spoilers from here on out. If you didn't see Avengers... By the way, the meme that's going around is ruining the end of this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm glad I saw it before that meme hit, because then I would have not been surprised at the end of this.
So, but. This weekend was Free Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
And my friend who owns the comic book store, he had not seen Avengers. And I'm like...
What the fuck?
Because they moved it up a week... And normally it was going to come out this week.
Yeah, but he could have seen it before Free Comic Book Day.
He couldn't go to the press screening or whatever happened. He was doing something else. And it was like, he's like, they screwed my whole thing up.
I want
to
punch him in the stomach and take his lunch money. So I know he's used to that. But
he's like, yeah, well, Chris is like the cool guy because he owns the store and all the nerds come in there and like want to chat him up. And I'm like, how are you going to have hundreds of guys come in here and ask your opinion about Avengers Infinity War?
And you haven't seen it?
And you haven't seen it yet. So I don't know how he did that. But anyway, so I would say, okay, so spoilers from here on out.
Well, what movie should they see that I didn't get?
I think you got them all.
Yeah.
I would say maybe, you don't even need to see Ultron, maybe see...
First Avengers instead?
But I guess Ultron explains who the Vision is.
Yeah, I think that's kind of important, right?
But the first Avengers...
Because I think those movies will get you all the characters. Like, you don't need to see Spider-Man Homecoming.
No.
That was maybe the worst one ever anyway.
But the ones that explain the plot of this Infinity Gem thing...
Right.
I think Doctor Strange does tie into that more.
He has one of the stones, so...
And actually, Doctor Strange is a good movie.
Yeah, Doctor Strange is one of the better movies.
You don't need to see Black Panther to know what's going on in this at all.
I think had they made this movie later, there might have been a little more Black Panther in it, but they didn't realize, you know.
There's a good amount of Black Panther.
Yeah, and it's...
Because all the characters from Black Panther are in there.
Yeah.
Maybe the first Avengers, because that kind of sets up the whole thing.
I guess, yeah.
With Loki having the
gem. Maybe see the two previous Avengers, and then you're up to six.
Well, I would say the first Captain America, because that really does... If you watch that one first, because it's set in World War II.
It is the first linear timeline.
Because they're going after the Tesseract then.
Yeah.
Which is what
And that's a real good movie, the first Captain America.
Yeah, it is a good movie.
A great movie.
What is it? The Power Gem, whatever the...
Yeah.
I get confused as to which gem is which.
She said, I watched a YouTube video explaining Infinity War after I'd seen it, and I still don't understand it.
I think they call them stones in the movie, but they're gems in the comics.
Okay.
This is, by the way, this whole thing is from a comic book miniseries that came out in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
Thanos, the character, debuted in the mid-70s, mm-hmm. and they'd had an earlier kind of version of this where he got the Cosmic Cube, which is just the Tesseract.
Yeah.
Anyway, so all of this stuff. I would say the Avengers, the first Captain America, you could probably skip. You can skip Winter Soldier.
Yeah, which is a decent movie on its own.
I mean, if you want to watch all these movies,
Guardians 2 is a decent movie on its own, but you can skip
tie
it.
Into
yeah.
this. Really?
Yeah, Ant-Man's good.
Well,
you know,
okay,
you see it.
So speaking of this, okay, spoilers now from here on out.
We said that already.
There's 800 people in this movie.
Yeah.
And at one point, Red Skull shows up.
Yeah.
Who was the villain of the first Captain America movie and has not been seen since.
Yeah.
And Red Skull showed up to say, hey, I was a thing that was in a movie once.
Yeah.
I don't really have any relevance to anything else.
Well, it was fan service.
Well,
apparently the guy, the actor, didn't want to come back.
No, Hugo Weaving didn't
Hugo
do
Weaving
it.
Said, fuck you.
So because it's the Red Skull, you can put somebody else in the mask.
Yeah.
And they just did that. But anyway, that whole thing kind of was like, ooh, hey, cool, Red Skull's here. And then he did nothing.
Make a movie with him, Terrence Howard, and Ed Norton.
There you go.
The guys who got,
guys got fired.
The guys
from,
who walked away from the, or left.
Well,
the MCU.
Imagine if Tom Cruise had been Iron Man. Wouldn't that be a mess?
Yeah.
Chevy Chase said that he turned down Forrest Gump.
I don't believe Robert Zemeckis in 1993 was looking to work with Chevy Chase.
Well, I mean, it's possible that...
I mean, if it was in development in the 70s or something, I could
see. It's conceivable that the script went to him.
I mean, Elliot Gould would have gotten a look, too, at that point. But, I mean, you know, I
yeah, maybe if the script had been kicking around for
a
couple years.
You know what that is? That's a Peter Sellers joint. That if he was alive and you would have done... You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, because Peter wasn't really all-American-y.
No, but he would play it.
They made a good call with Tom Hanks, but...
it's a terrible movie.
Well, Chevy said there were three movies he turned down he shouldn't have.
It's the worst Robert Zemeckis movie.
Which was interesting on that Carson cast. He said that Aykroyd is sitting on $100 million and he's got his own vodka line.
Okay.
And Chevy's like, I didn't do it right. Because he turned down Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
He turned down Forrest Gump. And he turned down Animal House.
What does Aykroyd have a piece of, you think?
Ghostbusters.
Oh, yeah? That's the moneymaker? Huh.
Well, that's the merchandiser.
But would he have a piece of that? I mean, is Venkman in all that stuff?
Yeah. Aykroyd's got a chunk of that.
Interesting.
Because he created Ghostbusters.
He created the, he wrote the...
So he's got a marketing percentage.
He wrote
on
the script with Harold Ramis. Yeah. Okay.
And anyway,
fair enough.
Chevy was supposed to
bow
be,
down.
Supposed to be Otter in Animal House.
Okay.
And he turned...
Yeah, and you can see that's... Yeah. You can see him doing that time.
Chevy was just pretty honest about it. He's like... Yeah, I had a decent career, but I fucked up and could have made much bigger movies. So,
well, but you know, there's stuff that Chevy's in that is considered great. You know, Caddyshack and Vacation and
well, when
you know, Chevy's in
classics.
When
stuff. Chevy Chase shows up in Avengers: Infinity War, I was really shocked. I couldn't believe he had the comedy stone.
Well, I believe on the podcast, Carson cast, that he turns to dust at the end of that.
Yeah,
I'm not
did.
Sure if
he literally
it sounds
does.
Like it. His voice did at some point.
All right, so there you go. So there's the big... Okay, so Thanos, which is...
Yes.
Josh Brolin is the voice of Thanos and I guess the motion capture of his face. He looks...
The only Avengers review, I think, on the internet that breaks down Chevy Chase's career midway through the review.
Yeah, we did.
I think this got to be the only one.
We stopped
it's
talking
gotta
about
be
Chevy
the
Chase.
Only one.
Well, that's where we are. He would have been a great Vision. Anyway, I don't want to break down the whole plot of the Avengers Infinity War because there's too many moving parts, which was a big problem with the movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, the crossover stuff where you go, hey, what would be cool if Thor was hanging out with the Guardians? That stuff worked. That was good. They did a good job with that.
And like Doctor Strange and Iron Man having kind of... Because you know what?
An ego off.
They're kind of the same.
Yeah,
they're kind of the same guy.
Yeah.
Except one's science and one's magic.
Yeah.
So they're going to clash.
Right.
They're, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like one guy's...
Uh-huh.
They're kind of both arrogant
it
pricks.
Is, yes.
And that was funny that worked between those two. Mm-hmm. But then they did a whole bit where Thor went off to build a new hammer.
Yeah, that stuff didn't work as well.
That stuff took too long for me.
Peter Dinklage.
All of that was a bit too long. Thor was funny in with the Guardians.
Yeah.
Then they split him off to go do some stuff with it was there was just too much. All of these movies are too much. There's
it was super long.
Many.
It was too long. I'll tell you, the screening I was at, I saw it opened, you know, Thursday night, Friday, whatever. I saw it Sunday afternoon. So I wasn't seeing like the Die Hard screening, with super fans.
Which we do for the Star Wars movies.
By the way, the
Thursday nights and those people are crazy.
Breaking news.
You bought Han Solo tickets?
I have Solo tickets for that night, so keep your calendar free.
Oh my God.
Keep your calendar free. Believe me, could you imagine that I was able to get solo tickets for opening night, Greg? Could you imagine that?
Well, that one.
The world we live in.
They're blowing the Star Wars.
Yeah, well, we're going to see that, too. But, yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it's too long. So, anyway, I'm there, and we're at this, you know, screening that's, like, a lot of kids. These kids, with about 30 minutes left of this fucking thing,
yeah,
were just wandering around. Sold out show Sunday afternoon. Why, you know, at the mall, wandering around. Talking, getting out of their seats. A lot of people just seemed bored. You know, nobody applauded at the end of it. No one, you know, people just kind of shuffled in and ate their candy and their popcorn and shuffled out. Like, yeah, give us more of this shit. It just was very much like it didn't feel like an event to me. It didn't feel like a movie that really hit. And I know when we see Star Wars, that's the super nerd fans and everyone's excited and people cheer. The Lucasfilm logo comes on and people pop. And I realize it's not that. And maybe if you would have seen this on opening day with all the super fans on Thursday night, I would have had a different experience. But I still think this thing doesn't work, ultimately.
Well, it's too unwieldy. It's too many moving parts. I thought a lot of it was exciting. Like,
Yeah. Like, it has good moments.
When Doctor Strange like kind of cuts loose and starts doing cool tricks,
yeah, yeah,
that was fun.
Right.
I didn't like the Spider-Man's like super iron suit.
Well, they did a lot of, I think when they start making this thing super spacey, they've got to do something about the guys who really don't have superpowers. Well, and one is to give Spider-Man a suit so he can go into space.
Yeah.
And like, you know, David Banner wouldn't become Hulk and that was sort of a thing. So they gave him like a crazy Hulk suit.
Yeah. That
Iron Man suit.
It was unnecessary things.
Yeah.
That they
and
did.
That was sort of like, I mean, it's stretching.
Really don't need all that.
Yeah.
All those shenanigans in Michigas.
Yeah.
And anyway.
I mean, what's your... you thumbs up, thumbs down, in the middle?
I'd give this like 3 fingers.
3 out of 5 fingers?
Yeah, but look, it does do some things very effectively. And the ending, the crowd I was with was into it.
Okay.
And there were like there was like a family of Chaldean kids next to me, and they were like, oh my God, Spider-Man!
Yeah.
And like, and there were little kids coming out of the earlier one. I saw it at like noon, and like the kids that were coming out of like 10 a.m.
Yeah.
We're like, Daddy, is Spider-Man really dead?
Yeah.
And I wanted to be like, kid, Spider-Man's
not
dead. Well,
that's kind of the problem with the ending, though, I have.
They fucked up who died.
Because
they
killed so many people at the end that you know they're not dead. If they had just killed one lead Avenger in a way that was irreversible.
Or a couple of them.
You would have went like, oh, okay, yeah, right. that was crazy.
Okay,
like when Han Solo dies in the end of...
Right.
Spoilers for a Star Wars movie that came out 3 years ago. But yeah, right. I mean, at the
when
end
Obi-Wan
of...
When Obi-Wan Kenobi
at
died
Force Awakens, yeah, I mean, you were surprised. You were shocked.
Okay, but even in this one, so the whole gimmick is that he's destroying half the universe.
Yeah.
So they're going to kill some of those guys.
Yeah.
But they killed the wrong ones.
Well, but isn't...
killed the wrong ones.
Isn't the gimmick, though, and I don't know this officially, it's not a spoiler in that I'm giving away some insider stuff,
no.
But... that somehow they're going to flip it to where those that died will live and those that live died, which then writes out Thor, Cap, and Iron Man, and then you can go forward with the Guardians and Doctor Strange and Spider-Man.
The whole gimmick is that there's a magic...
And Black Panther's dead.
There's a magic glove that controls the universe.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you kill everybody.
Yeah.
If you get a hold of that magic glove,
bring everybody back.
Then you bring everybody back.
Yeah.
And they're not, by the way, killing off all of... Okay,
no,
you're
no,
right.
No.
If they'd killed a couple of them, they could have made it. And if they'd done the right ones.
Right.
But Black Panther just made $1 billion.
Yes.
Like, they're not killing the Black Panther, guys.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to go, hey, we like money, but let's set this stack of it on
fire.
Yeah,
it's...
Like, that's not happening. So they fucked that all up. Like,
yeah, I agree.
It
sort of defanged.
If they killed Doctor Strange, people would.
Yeah,
even Doctor. Oh shit! They killed Doctor Strange.
And they did kill characters in a way where they didn't turn to dust, and they very well maybe.
There's
dead.
A couple that sure.
But yeah, it was just sort of like, well, this is just there's too many guys died. The first guy, you go, he's and then it's like, oh well, Black Panther's not dead. Spider-Man's not dead.
They killed all of the Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, yeah.
Except the Rocket.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, spoilers. But
then I guess Rocket has to die if they flip
Rocket's a cartoon, so they don't have to really worry about the actor. You know what I mean? Like, and none of these guys are too old yet. Downey's
on
the edge.
Oh, no, Downey's looking old. I'm sorry. Downey and Don Cheadle looked old as fuck. Don Cheadle looked old as fuck.
Black did crack in that case. I don't know what happened with Don Cheadle. He did look anemic.
What was his show where he could stop time? He had superpowers on that.
He did?
You don't remember that Showtime show? Power was in power.
There was a Don Cheadle could stop time.
There was like it was like a Don Cheadle sitcom. And then Don Cheadle could like stop time and like talk about what was happening. He could break the fourth wall. I think it was him and Kristen Bell.
Oh, I don't remember that show.
Yeah, it was actually not bad.
So it was like Mind the Married Man, but with Don Cheadle stopping time.
I'm gonna look up the Don.
What did he like? He just be like, "Hey, time out."
Why are you asking me now? It came out five years ago, and you're gonna ask me about that.
All I know is
I'm gonna have to remove my blocker's Wikipedia page.
Don Cheadle's gonna have to get that time stone to stop looking old because he was looking old. Yeah.
No, it's maybe it was on Stars. No, I think it was on Showtime. House of Lies.
You know, I never saw it.
7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, 8.2 out of 10 on TV.com. It aired from 2012 to 2016. It also starred Kristen Bell, and Ben Schwartz was the actor you would know. Seasons, 58 episodes. It wasn't bad.
House of Lies. This sounds like the Mandela
effect.
This sounds like the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Like this was in an alternate universe that I was not aware of, that I never knew.
Griffin Dunn was on the show.
What?
Anna Camp.
What?
Bess Armstrong was on the show.
What? Bess Armstrong.
Eliza Coop was on the show, Corey. Mekhi Phifer was on the show, Corey. Daniel Stern. Mary McCormick. Dimitri Martin. Steven Weber. Wanda Sykes.
That's really weird.
Over 5 years. Donald Faison. Come on, Corey. Get with it and catch up with House of Lies. That's really weird
because I thought Mekhi Phifer played Thanos in this movie.
By the way, I watched a really...
Is this in the other alternate universe?
I watched a really bad video about the Mandela effect.
Oh, they're all really bad.
Because it was kind of like, when he doesn't say, "Luke, I am your father," but we all remember it. And it's like, no, it's been shortened for clarification. We don't remember it that way. It's quoted that way to give it context.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a direct quote from Star Wars.
No, but that's
it's parenthetical. But it's not exactly what the Mandela effect is.
No, it's that people remember quotes wrong.
The Mandela effect, when people go, "Sinbad played a genie," and there's really no Sinbad playing a genie, that is the Mandela effect.
Yeah.
Getting a movie quote wrong is not the Mandela effect. And these guys who made this video were fucking Nimrods, and I wasted 5 minutes of my life watching it.
There's a lot of Nimrods that make videos.
Including, we stopped making videos.
Well, no one wanted to look at us.
You can go watch us. Well, again, we were making YouTube videos before anyone was making YouTube videos. We were doing live podcasts before anyone was doing live podcasts.
Yeah,
we've done it all.
Fat lot of good it did us.
Hell, hey.
All right, well, that's enough of this.
I don't know. Infinity War's all right. I don't fucking know. Watch those other Marvel movies first, the ones we told you to watch.
Yeah, I think if you've watched all these Marvel movies, Infinity War was entertaining, but too long.
No, it's just, it's, part of the problem with it is it's so comic book. As a guy who doesn't like comic books, it's so comic booky. It's all, everything you can criticize about comic books.
Oh,
the stories never wrap up. No one's ever really dead. That's all true of this movie, that's what I don't like.
Iron Man's suit can do anything.
Yeah.
That was a little silly.
Yeah.
And then the stinger after this 2.5 hour movie, everybody sits there and goes, "What the hell?"
Right.
And the stinger, literally the audience looked around confused.
Yeah.
I knew what that stinger meant.
Well, we had to look it up. We were at dinner afterwards, and we looked up what does that thing mean at the stinger.
They're stinging a movie that hasn't come out yet.
Well, that's a lot of how those stingers work on Marvel movies, is it's for the next movie.
But it doesn't. But it's like, that doesn't mean anything to people in the audience because they don't even know this character yet.
Well, then it forces you to look it up, and that's the world we live in, too. Why put it in the movie? They can get it on the internet later. It's weird.
Well, why don't you get this episode on the internet later?
In 13 years, we'll look back on this as the classic episode of the week, Corey.
No, God.
With our grandchildren on our knee, Corey. In 13 years.
When we're doing the Jimmy Fallon podcast.
Oh, yes, exactly.
Where we interview Cardi B about, what was it like when you guys did Jell-O shots? Was that crazy? Huh?
We're going to be like, look, before Jeff Horst fucked Rihanna, he talked to us. That's what we're going to be talking about years from now. Here it is.
Oh, my.
Wait, thanks to Jeff Horst for calling.
Yes.
That was nice. Thank you, Jeff.
Delightful Jeff Horst. Thank
you. We're overdue to have Jeff on. He's a good friend. And shout out to Dave Landau, who's been on this show before. And Dave is now sitting in with Artie Lang and Anthony Cumia on the Anthony and Artie show on what's the name of their network?
Compound Media.
Compound Media. Good luck to Dave on that.
Yeah.
Dave also did a lot of the Fun House with Upchuck the Clown. Did a couple of those with me.
Dave's a funny guy. I keep trying to get Dave on this show, now it was too late.
Sounds like he's booked. So.
Yeah.
But good luck to Dave. He's at the Comedy Castle, I think, maybe Memorial Day weekend. So Dave's, right, Dave's
well,
off.
Maybe we'll, get, maybe we'll get him in.
We'll get him in that week. All right. Thanks for listening. Check out our classic episode of the week. Check us out on Google Podcasts on your mobile phone via the Google Assistant. It's a great way to get podcasts. I love it. Catch you next time on Joel Radio, everybody. Good night.